Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight, and we're here to pray for you and minister to you and do a little preaching, a little teaching, whatever we can get into here, and we're glad we can do it. Thankful that we have this outlet that we can do and say whatever God gives us to say without having to be restricted by human beings, right? So we're thankful for that. So welcome to the show tonight. We're going to be doing a little bit of sharing with you the word that I'm getting for tonight as far as what God is wanting us to hear and to get a hold of. So hopefully you're ready for that. If you're not, we're going to just give it to you anyway, so you might as well just get ready. All right. Yeah. All right. So, one of the things that that I've been being dealt with about is, of course, ever since we've watched the prophetic realm work, there's so many different voices in the earth. And which voices are really, when they say, thus saith the Lord, or if I be a man of God, this will happen, that'll happen. And then we turn right around and watch it not happen. What do we do with that? Do we condemn them? Do we, what do we do? And I really think the basic answer is that, we're learning. Just like the day of, after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, he gave them all languages, different languages, and brought such unity. He brought, had many different languages, but brought unity with the same information, the information that lifts up God Almighty. And that's really important because that's where true unity comes from. And that all began to happen, the end times began. Actually, the end times began at the day of Pentecost. Of course, we believe we're at the end of end times, so it's a little bit different thing. But the end times actually began on the day of Pentecost. And so when you start understanding that, you start seeing things, a little bit differently. And, so what we're looking at tonight is about how that we come together in prayer. We come into agreement. What do we come into agreement on? Because we're hearing different people say, this prophet says this, that prophet says that, and then come find out, 90% of them were wrong. So what do we do? Do we condemn them? What do we do? Well, we realize that they're learning, they're growing. In the church of Corinthian church, Paul the Apostle said, you guys got the gifts going on. It's wonderful. Great, let it go, let it rip, but let's set some order in some things. And so he began to set some order. And he talked about how we let two or three judge a prophetic word. And so there is some order to this, and I don't know that we've got it together yet. I think a lot of people have tried to get it together. I think we're going to get it together and find some type of order, some type of way to judge things. Some people are going to believe what some people say because the personalities are great and they're wonderful, and so some people are going to fall for just about anything. And if they like the personality or they like the way they preach or they talk, they're going to go for it because that just happens. You get emotional connections. You get soulish connections with preachers, with prophets, with teachers. And once you get that emotional connection, you start listening to what they say more than you listen to what God is saying through them. And so that's what we got to be careful of and ask the Lord to help us. We're not going to have it perfect. There's always going to be some things get messed up. Sometimes people make honest mistakes, and we need to not condemn them, but tell the truth for what the truth was. When they got a word wrong, just say, you missed it, but we love you. And, we're going to look at it and get everything back on track. We're going to learn how to judge words. so that people don't just go for everything hook, line, and sinker, right? And that's what the church is for. The church is to help protect the people of the church. The leadership, church leadership, is to help protect the people in the church. And so Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians talked a lot about how that the gift of prophecy and how important it was. And he talked about tongues and interpretation of tongues and the gifts of miracles and the gifts of faith and all the stuff in it. So it's all important that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But at the same time, we're coming into a season, I believe, that began around the Trump and Biden election, that we heard a lot of words that were, you know, things that we wanted to hear, things that were, you know, put together very well. And a lot of us had emotional connections with some of those prophets, with some of those speakers, with some of those preachers. And because we did, we just believed them, right? And so that's easy to do. It's easy to do. There's no condemnation here. What I'm trying to say tonight is that we need to ask the Lord to break our soulish connections, our soulish ties with preachers and prophets and whoever they are, any kind of leadership, and let God connect us and start looking to what the Lord is saying through them instead of just looking to their personality or how wonderful they are or how good they speak or how well they present themselves on radio or TV. You know, because a lot of us fall for that stuff and a lot of us have fallen for it the years. I have fallen for it many times. But we all have. It's just not a new thing. So what do we do to straighten it up? Well, I really believe God's going to begin to show us, you know, the true words of the Lord. One of the things we're going to see happen is that we're going to see a great setting apart of those who are in the season. We entered into a new era with the Biden Trump election. We entered into a whole new era with that. And because of that, we're into a whole new place. We're into a whole new place. And so some of those prophets are going to change and connect and get into it, the new era. Some are not. Some are going to fight it, and they're still fighting it. They'll keep fighting it because, you know, their words, their reputations are wrapped up in their words. And when those words didn't happen, they had to start finding some kind of way to justify it and say, well, it really was going to come to pass, but, you know, they stole the election. Like God didn't know they're going to, I'm not saying they stole the election. Like some people said they stole it, but, you know, they stole the election. So that's why our words didn't come to pass. Well, that's not the God realm. That's the human realm. That's the soulish realm. You know, that's the soulish realm. When God speaks a word, he doesn't need somebody to come into agreement with it. It don't matter if you come into agreement with it or not. Well, like when Joseph was told Pharaoh the interpretation of his dream, he was saying, thus saith the Lord. You're going to have 7 years of blessing, of plenty, and 7 years of famine. It didn't matter whether Pharaoh believed it, anybody believed it, didn't matter. It was going to happen. All Pharaoh needed, all God needed was somebody to interpret the dream for him to tell him what was going to happen. It's going to happen no matter what. The dream was given twice, just like Joseph's dreams were given to him twice, having the same meaning, right? Same basic meaning. His brothers bowed down to him in one. His sheaves, their sheaves bowed down to his sheaves. And the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to him. They were two dreams meaning the same thing. In other words, that was going to come to pass no matter what. And you can see that it did happen no matter what, because Joseph would have never gone to Egypt and said, this is where my dream is going to come to pass, right? He was, Joseph was, forced to go there. He was made to go there. Why did God make him go there? Because he wouldn't go there otherwise. He wouldn't go there. I'm not going to go to Egypt and rule with Pharaoh. That's crazy. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be blessed where I'm at in Canaan land. This is the promised land. And so, his Abraham and Isaac had taught them that land was a blessed land. So Joseph, this is the land of promise. And so how else would he interpret it? Of course he did. So God had to force him. In other words, his dual dreams meant having the same meaning meant that they were going to come to pass no matter what. So no matter what was, he got his brothers to throw him into the pit, sell him out to Egypt, and then when he got to Potiphar's house, they've been there for a few years, started really getting favor. And when he had favor, you know, the woman accused him of trying to have a relationship with her and against her will, and he was thrown in the prison. That was all God controlling the situation. You see how God does it. Sometimes Let me tell you something, friends. Sometimes God will control the situation. It's like there ain't nothing. You ever get into things, you're like, I didn't have anything to do with that. I don't know how that happened. I mean, surely telling my brothers that I was going to rule over them in a dream didn't mean they had the gall and the rights to, you know, cast me out and get rid of me. You know, it's like God was in control of it. God took over. And God made sure that that dream came to pass. He made sure that Joseph was in the prison when the two servants of Pharaoh came in and he interpreted their dreams. He made sure that all that happened. He forced it, if you will. So God would never force anything. Well, look what he did with Joseph. That was a force. That was a forced job. Joseph wasn't willing to go, right? You can't blame him. He wasn't willing to go to prison. Oh, yeah, go to prison? Yeah, man, I come in agreement with that. That's going to be cool. We'll go to prison, man. It's going to be awesome. I love the prison food. I love to run prisons. He wasn't willingly going to do any of that. So God forced him. God would never force anybody, Brother Chandler. Don't you know that? That's against the Word of God. Well, I mean, if read your Bible, and without all the twisted sister stuff going on and twisted sistering everything, and just read it for what it is. I mean, he forced him. He made him. He put him in chains and took him there. And then when he had him thrown in prison, he couldn't escape, right? He forced him to go to prison. He forced him to be there so that when he could interpret those dreams, knowing that it was all set up by God. So have you ever felt like sometimes, friend, God was just forcing things on you and you really don't believe God forces things, but yet you're watching God force things? It's like, man, I had no control of that. The more I tried to fix it, the worse I got. You heard me say that. You know, sometimes I try to fix situations. Oh, I'm sorry. And I really didn't do anything really particularly wrong. But just, you know, you're trying to make peace. And the more peace you tried to make to fix the thing, it's like it got worse. In other words, it's like God was forcing you out of a situation, forcing you into a situation. When you really had Joseph messed up a little bit by telling his brothers that, but I mean, my gosh, it was true. He did have a dream, and they were already jealous of him, but God had said all that because so he could force him. He forced him into Egypt. So some of you haven't been blessed yet enough, maybe, I don't know, to be forced into something, you know. Sometimes I feel like I have a little bit, you know. Sometimes maybe some of you have too. Probably most people feel like they've been forced into things. You know, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't influence it. I didn't do anything that wrong, that bad. And I was like forced into a situation. I was forced into things that I really had nothing to do with or very little to do with. In other words, that plus that didn't equal that. It's like it was forced upon me. Well, that's what happened with Joseph. And we can talk about other people too. But Joseph is probably the most clear one, that he was forced into slavery, forced into prison. Yeah, so there you go. And he could not get out of it. That was not a willingness. He was not willing to do any of that. And the only thing he was willing to do was serve God no matter what. That was what's so beautiful about Joseph. He was willing to serve God no matter what. And that's what God's trying to do with us. No matter what situation we get forced into, we got to realize that, you know, no matter what you seem to be being forced into and can't get out of and have no control over, that you know, sometimes those being forced into situations, like some people get forced into prison. Maybe they should be out of prison by now, but they got forced back in for some reason, you know, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem fair. But you know what? If we'll look at it according to the Bible, if we're forced into something that we can't get out of and we've yielded our life to God, just like Joseph did, then somehow, some way, that forced situation is going to bring a blessing on us. Right? All right. Not really what I wanted to talk about tonight, but that's where we went. It's amazing how God forces some things, some situations to happen. And I think if you look through the Bible, you're going to see a lot of that stuff. We'll talk about it more in the future. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about tonight, trying to go to, is that, you know, we think that, you know, like when we entered into a season with the Biden and Trump election, where we had a whole bunch of people, millions of people, maybe, I don't know if hundreds of prophets or not, but many, many prophets, many of them seasoned, many of them good people. They're all good people, basically. Most of them are. And they were all in agreement on Trump being president. And so what do we see? We saw just the opposite of that. And so it kind of shook people a little bit. It kind of shook people. And I'm going to tell you something. What shook people is that we're entering into an era. We entered into a new era that if you don't transfer with God into that era, you're going to just keep missing words and keep fighting God. That's what a lot of prophets are doing right now. They're fighting God. They're fighting God. They don't realize they're fighting God, but they're fighting God. They're kicking against the pricks, and they're going to find out that you don't do that pretty soon. All right, so here's what's going on. So at that time, people were thinking, we'll all come together in agreement. We got all these outlets. We got TV. We got radio. We got the two major TV stations, three or four TV stations, two of them global for sure. We got radio. We got Facebook. We got all this thing. We're going to agree together in unity, and we are going to make this thing happen together. If we'd agree together in unity, all things become possible. Right, all things become possible because we are together in unity of prayer, right? And they found out that that didn't work. They found out that that didn't happen. As passionate as people were about Trump being reelected, it didn't happen. Even though there was tremendous gathering together around him, tremendous unity in the body of Christ, they were praying, believing God, and it just didn't happen. What was going on there? Because there was a sovereign act of God, that God is getting the globe heading in the direction where Christ can return, where the one world system can do its thing, raise its ugly head, and God slay it at the end, and kind of move on with things. And so because that's where we're going, he did not allow Trump to be president. One of the reasons he didn't allow Trump to be president. And so, it's never going to happen. Seth, I know some of you are still believing that, and it's just not going to happen. I don't care what Biden does or doesn't do. It doesn't matter. It's not about what Biden does or doesn't do. It's about coming into agreement with what God is saying, even if you don't like it, even if you don't agree with it. I didn't like the fact that he was telling me what he was telling me about Biden. I didn't like that. I didn't like it when I heard Professor Lichtman say, who studied out how to gauge, elections, just by simple stats and numbers and how popular they were and economic issues in their presidency or not. He just kind of did it by, figured out certain information and putting it together. It wasn't nothing spiritual about it. And, the fact that we gave that information and said that's what's going to happen, and I couldn't say it, but I let other people say it, that, Trump was not going to win the election. And that was months before it happened. And so what was going on? God was trying to tell us something to come into agreement with, to understand, this is what I'm doing. And so people thought they could fight it by just simply all coming into agreement in prayer, and therefore all things became possible. Well, that's the Babylonian spirit, friend. That is the Babylonian spirit. Whether we recognize it or not, it's the Babylonian spirit. What was the Babylonian spirit about? Genesis 11, verse 4. This is Babylon, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, right? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. They are one. This is Babylon. And they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. The Lord says, come and let us go down there and confuse their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over all the face of the earth, and they ceased building the building. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. Okay, so what was Babylon? Babylon was, they all came into agreement. They have one language, one purpose. They all came into agreement about it. Yeah, we're going to do this. We're not going to be scattered all over the earth. We're going to gather together here. We're going to build this tower. It's going to reach the heavens. And God saw that, and he goes, man, look at this. They truly do. So coming together as one really does work. But you know what? Anytime God sees that his will is not being done, he's going to come down and confuse everything. What happened with the Trump and Biden election? people were tremendously confused. I mean, it's like God came down and confused their prayers, confused their unity, confused their language of, we want Trump, we want Trump. I voted for Trump. But it was that oneness and that unity. And the Lord said, you know, I'm not going to let that happen. I've got something greater going on. I got something better going on, believe it or not. And so so God began to confuse, and a lot of Christians became confused. So what's to hold now that there was such confusion and still confusion over what these well-known prophets said, these good men, these great guys who were very influential, good speakers, great personalities, the whole thing, and yet the confusion that was all around them, and now they're trying to always justify what they did or didn't do, said or didn't say, and why it got messed up because the devil stole it. Like God didn't know the devil was going to try to, you know, mess up things, and it caught God off surprise. Well, you know, God doesn't get caught off surprise. So here's the thing. So here's what the Lord's telling me. He said, we really need to discern the word of the Lord. Not just scripture, but God breathed scripture. Because you can have scripture say, do one thing this way, and you can have the same another scripture say, do it just the opposite way. Right? In other words, over here, don't say anything, and God will move. And over here, go shout and sing, and God will move. So they're two different things. Probably just one example of many things. And so what scripture are you going to use? You're going to be quiet and stand still and watch the Lord do his job, or are you going to shout with prayer and sing songs and worship the Lord? You know, which one's it going to be? So which one is God breathed? Which one is the word of the Lord that's been breathed by the mouth of God for what's happening now to win the victory? Because you stand there and be still and say nothing, and the word of the Lord is, I want you to shout and sing and play their instruments, then you're going to lose the victory even though you did something biblical. You see, so it's not about coming into agreement in prayer about something. It's about coming into agreement with God's word. The Bible says you can pray and pray amiss. A lot of people pray, but they pray amiss. They pray the wrong prayer. They pray the wrong word. They're believing God for this, and God says, that's not what I want. Like Joseph, even Joseph did that. He was praying, you know, to get back and be with his brother so he could rule over them, right? And God said the whole time, I want you here in Egypt, and I'm going to force you to stay here. I'm going to force you. You can't get out. You can't leave. You can't run. You can't go. I got you, boy, and you're going to stay here because I'm going to make you stay here because I know better than what you know. And so this is the same thing with you and I today. Joseph, as great as he was, God had to force him and put him in a place he did not want to be, always felt like he was in the wrong place, but yet he kept serving God no matter what. That's what saved him. And so this is what's going to happen in this coming season. We're going to find ourselves in places where we're going like, man, I want out of here. Get me out of here. I got to get back to what my vision is, to what my prayer and agreement is with God. And you know what? God is not going to allow it to happen. He's going to force us, just like he's going to force the globe to come for the one world government and religious groups to come together as one. He's going to force. He is forcing the body of Christ at Texas and other states around the globe to become one and set up their own systems where we can have some way to make transactions and have food and supply food for people. You know, he's going to force people into that. It's not what we want. We don't want to be separate from our country. We don't want to be, you know, set apart. But you know what? It's going to happen. God's going to force. He's forcing it on us. Why? Because he's got a thing that we can't even comprehend or understand. Even if I told you, the Bible says, even if I told you what was going on, you wouldn't understand it. Sometimes that's the way it is. It's so mind-boggling. It's so whoa that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it, right? I mean, even though God has told me some things, I'll be honest with you. Even though I said, thus saith the Lord, and this is what the Lord is saying, I'm like going, oh, my God, you know, if I hadn't had that directly from the Lord in my spirit, I would have never believed that. I would have been just like everybody else. So what's God doing? He's saying, I'm going to force things, just like I forced Joseph, I'm going to force the globe, if you will, to go the direction I want it to go. And it's going to be best. So he forced Joseph. What did Joseph do? Joseph ended up saving the globe from starvation because God used him and gave him wisdom, interpreted that dream, told him how to handle things, and he did it the way God said. Therefore, God, through him, saved the globe, saved Egypt, saved Pharaoh, saved people came from all over the world because the famine was 7 years, right? You have 2 years of famine, 3 years, that's devastating. 5 years, a lot. 7 years, total destruction, total devastation. It was forced upon them, and God worked and forced his way through to get Joseph in that position. And then once he was appointed the leader under Pharaoh to take that job to deal with the food realm, to see what God was saying to him. And then when his brothers showed up, his 11 brothers showed up, and they all bow down to him, he's like going, man, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is exactly what God wants me to do. But it took years and years of God forcing Joseph. Brother Channing, you should know that God never forces anybody to do anything. Well, I hate to disagree with you. He can't force you to serve him. He couldn't force Joseph to worship him in that prison. He couldn't force him to do that. No, he couldn't do that. But he did force him and make him and put him in that position where he could not get out of it. Therefore, he could not get set free until the right time in the right season for the right purposes. So, all right. So that's kind of what I'm saying tonight. And so here's what we got to come to pray about. And that is just because you're coming to agreement and unity like they did about Trump, millions and millions and millions and millions of people all over the globe, faith and Christians, I mean, good God-fearing Christians, prophets, preachers, teachers, you know, 90% of the body of Christ was maybe more, was in total agreement with that. And yet it failed to happen. Why? Because just because you have that Babylonian spirit of coming together in agreement, doesn't mean God's not going to come down and confuse it by not letting it happen, not by not letting it come to pass. And that's what he did. And so now he's forcing the globe. He's forcing the body of Christ. He's forcing the world because it's like there's not anything you can do about it. You can't stop Biden from doing what he's going to do because God's in control of that. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds bad. I don't, you know, we have to start looking at things biblically. Or we're going to try to come into agreement with the wrong things. So now we come to agreement with what God is saying. We learn to listen to the prophets who are hearing from God, who are speaking the word of the Lord for this era that we're in, this new era, right? And as we do that, then we're going to see God do things. Then we're going to be like Joseph at the end when he finally said, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. This is the sun and the moon God was talking about. Pharaoh was the sun god. Egypt was known as the moon, the reflection of the sun, of Pharaoh. And they all bowed down and worshiped him, basically, right? So he started realizing, oh, my gosh, they're bowing down to me. And I'm sure that dream just flashed back in his mind of the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him like his brothers came and bowed down to him. So that word began to come to pass. But, friend, it was after a lot of forcing, after a lot of, for years, making Joseph be in a position that he didn't want to be in and ended up in the most powerful position of the globe because he was forced to go there. And once he came in agreement with it, then he went, yeah, God, this is what you meant. Sorry. Sorry for the misinterpretation. Sorry for trying to come into agreement for the wrong thing. And you confused it. Joseph was always confused about that because he couldn't figure out why. He knew God spoke to him. He knew it. It was given as dual dreams. Anytime you get dual dreams, like what he got, that the sovereign thing, it's surely going to come to pass. And he knew that, and he couldn't figure out why it wasn't happening. Just like when he told Pharaoh, he said, because you had two dreams, he understood those dual dreams. He said, that means it's surely going to come to pass. In other words, it's not going to be a vote. It's not going to be a maybe. God's going to force it. God is going to force it, just like he forced Joseph. You know, and forced his brothers to come. I mean, they were forced to. They had to come get food. It wasn't like a willing thing, like, hey, let's go to Egypt and buy some really good grain with it. No, they were forced. They were forced to do it. So we're entering into a season of an era where things are being forced to go a direction. And as we go along, eventually we're going to come to agreement with what God is doing and go, oh, yeah, that was supposed to happen. Oh, yeah, coming together around the globe. We're going to feed and nurture. We're going to help Israel. We're going to do all kinds of things. And God's going to use us to do great and mighty things. Oh, yeah, now I see. Okay, God, forgive me for misjudging and misinterpreting what we thought was going to go on, what we thought was the right thing. And thank you, Lord, for forcing your way through to the better way, like you did with Joseph. All right, do y'all see that tonight? Does that make sense? So if you have friends who, seem to be forced into things that maybe they're not, like Joseph was not, didn't deserve that. That wasn't something he deserved. He deserved to be free. He deserved to go home to his daddy and be with his family. You know, if God's a family man, why would God take Joseph away from his family? Oh, God is a family man, Brother Chandler, don't you know? Yeah, he is a family man. But he also sometimes separates people out from their families, like Paul the Apostle, like Joseph, like others. They were separated out from their families where he was, where the grief and the sorrow. I mean, if you looked at God the way some people look at God, you'd be going like, that was mean. I can't believe God did that to Joseph. Took him away from his daddy. He had a loving, kind family and a wonderful family. It was so wonderful. Yeah, his brothers didn't like him, but his daddy did, and his mama loved him. You know, it was God, that was so mean. How could you let that happen? Well, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. But sometimes God will separate you out from your family. He will separate you out from the loves of your life to get you in a place to where he sets you apart to be used by him miraculously. And it's difficult. It's hard. Some people don't want it. And some people resist it. But you know what? Some people, God's just going to force them into that position. He can't force them to worship him. He can't force them to obey him. But he can force poverty upon them if that's what it takes, or force, you know, other things on them to get them to, you know, like Joseph's brothers were forced. They had to go to Egypt, was the only place they had food. They were forced to go there, you know, yeah, to live. And so there you go, friend, and good to be with you tonight. We're going to take callers tonight and see what's going on. I hope you heard the word of the Lord tonight. I wanted to spend more time on the unity thing, how that the much of the body of Christ thinks that if we can all just come together in agreement, if we can just all come together and agree, if we can just get enough people to agree. No, agree on what? Agree on a prayer that we pray that we're going to miss it, a missed prayer that we're praying in agreement on, or a prayer that comes from God, a word that comes from the Lord. Yeah, so when we start coming in agreement with the word of the Lord, then we come in agreement with that. That's different. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, just like with Joseph, God didn't need Joseph to come in agreement with that. That famine is going to hit no matter what. Those 7 years of blessings are going to be there no matter what. The only thing he did with Joseph is he used Joseph to reveal it. This is what I'm going to do. It wasn't a matter of opinions or I need 10 pharaohs to come into agreement with me in prayer about this. I need 10 priests in our kingdom to come into agreement about this. And we get 10, and then they get their congregations to do it. We're going to watch this thing. We're going to watch the blessings come. And you know what? We decided that we're going to try to resist the famine because we don't like famine. Famine's never good for anybody. So we resist the famine. We take the 7 years of blessing, but we resist. We come into agreement. We resist that famine. We resist that trouble. We resist that. And they try to resist it all they want to. And guess what? Just like the blessings would happen without their agreement, so would the famine happen without their agreement. Why? Because God was forcing a change. He was forcing something. He was placing something into action that man had nothing to do with except to sit back and watch it. And thank God for Joseph and all the preparation he had gone through, that he told them by the Spirit of God after he showed a heathen king, right, Pharaoh, a good man, but a heathen, showed him a dream, just like he did when Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Remember that? Nebuchadnezzar was not a godly man. He was a good man, but he was not a godly man, and neither was Pharaoh. And God gave a Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh, a dream of what he was about to do, and he used a godly man named Joseph to interpret it, to properly tell what was about, out agreement, with or without agreement. Didn't need no agreement. So if you think that the only thing's going to happen is what you come into agreement about, there is agreement in prayer. There's agreement. We come into agreement with the Word of God for healing, for miracles, that kind of thing. Of course, there's that part of prayer. But when it comes to certain things, friend, You know, we need to find out what the word of the Lord is, what the quickened word of God is saying. Which thing are we going to do? We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, or are we going to shout and sing and praise God? Which one are we going to do? Which one's in God? If we do the wrong thing, we're going to lose the victory, right? So we come into agreement with what God wants to say and do, and come in agreement with that. And there is agreement that we do come into. All right. Deborah says, the Lord spoke to me about 6 months before the election to stop praying about it. I didn't interpret correctly at the time, but I did indeed stop praying myself or with others for Trump. I did understand it. I mean, the election results had been accomplished by the Lord. Okay, about it. Okay, sorry. Thank you. I thought that's what you were trying to say. Awesome. To stop praying about it. Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Well, hearing from God, you know, and thank you, Deborah, for sharing that. Deborah has shows every Tuesday night. Make sure and get in Deborah's shows. We send out text alerts letting you know Deborah had a show tonight. So thank you for sharing that, Deborah. That's really cool. I think that if we were able to hear other testimonies maybe of people that they just kept thinking, they probably kept thinking it was the devil trying to tell them to stop praying. Oh, we can't stop praying. We need our country to have a good president. And Trump at the time was a good president. I liked him. I liked him a lot. Mouthy, I kind of like the mouthy part of him, you know, honestly. I like the things that some people didn't like about him, you know. So, you know, it was really crazy when God starts, you know, taking me a whole other direction. He kept telling me all during the last year before the election, you know, but I hear another, Trump could still win this thing, but I hear another voice and it says, Joseph Biden. And I said that, I don't know, 30 times, I don't know how many times, bunches of times. So, you know, we all were just trying to get it. And so I think that's what God's doing. He's, like Deborah's talking about, he's making that adjustment where we're going to learn to, you know, pray the will of the Father, not just what's in the Bible. Everything in the globe is in the Bible. All kinds of ways to do different things. As I use the example of stand still before the Lord, don't say or do anything, and watch God move. And then the other one says shout and dance and praise God, and you'll see the victory. So which one are you going to do? The one that God's breathing on, right? That's the one that we do. So the word of God is the word of God, but God has to quicken it for it to be real, for it to be alive, for it to be what he's doing, what he's saying. You know, I'm not always going to get it. You're not always going to get it. We're going to believe God to always get it, but we're not going to be perfect. You know, I do think that God is, however, raising up voices that are not afraid to say, oh, that's not the devil. That's God trying to talk to me. Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine the voice saying to Joseph, you need to be out of this prison and back home with your daddy so you can rule over your brothers and glorify me. You know, I mean, what voice was that? That wasn't God's voice. Yeah, that was his interpretation of his dream voice. Right? Yeah, that was the interpretation of his dream voice. You need to be back in Canaan land where the promised land is, not in this desolate place called Egypt. Go back. You know, and so I'm sure he went, yeah, I come in agreement with that. But you know what? It wasn't the will of God. So whatever voice that was, his interpretation voice to his dream, which was the wrong interpretation, or what? So we're learning. We're growing. There's no condemnation, friend. But when somebody messes something up, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, they didn't really say that. They didn't really. No, we're going to just speak the truth, you know. If I mess up something, we're going to speak the truth about it. This is what really happened. This is what was really said. We misunderstood. We didn't know. Okay, just like when we talked about Marcus Lamb and the mistakes he made, Marcus Lamb had a heart after God. Didn't mean he was an evil, bad person. It had nothing to do with it. I said he had a heart after God. How many times do I have to repeat that? But you know what? When God, when the prophet told King David, who had a heart after God, that the sword's never going to leave your family, your household, you know, what's the prophet going to do? Just leave that part out? No, you have to say the whole thing. As a prophet, you have to say what God's saying and do what God's doing, or he'll use somebody else. He can raise up somebody in a lickety split, friend. I guarantee you, lickety split. He could raise up somebody else. Yeah, he's got a bunch of them out there that can be used to say what he wants to say. But as long as you keep doing what he's telling you to do, he'll just keep using you, right? And he'll raise you up and make you look good. God will make you look good. You know, just keep giving him the glory and keep giving the glory to the one who made you look good, and you'll keep on looking good because God will keep on making you look good because you're going to keep speaking what he says. All right, so let's take our prayer warrior, let's take our callers tonight, see what's going on here, and let's believe God. All right, let's take 610-969. I think this is Lisa from Pennsylvania. Lisa, how are you doing tonight?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. How are you?
Hey. Good. What's going on your way? How are you doing tonight?
Oh, my goodness. Last week you prayed, the last couple of weeks you prayed for Andre, and it's like you prophesied prayed because you were talking about the darkness. Can you hear me all right? I'm using a speaker thingy, like a Bluetooth.
Hey, can you say that again? I have a hard time hearing you.
I'm using a Bluetooth.
Oh.
Is it okay? Can you hear me?
It sounds fine. It sounds okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you were praying for Andre, and you were talking about, like, you know, the place where he's at and the darkness surrounding him, and then you were telling me, like, to, like, basically pray and support, the way I took it. I don't know. I listened to it a few times.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
Oh, my goodness. So he's in this place where my son was also locked up. It's in Northampton County. And it's so jacked up, Prophet Randy. Oh, my gosh. It's so jacked up there. And there's, like, just – it's so – like, it's just corrupt. It's a corrupt facility. And – it's like triggering all this stuff, and it's just, I was just like, oh my God, thank you, Prophet Rand. No, thank God, and thank God and thank you that you were able to, like, see that ahead of time, because you're like, I don't know what it is. You were like, it could be the prison, it could be the atmosphere, but, and I was just like, oh my gosh, that's what he must have saw, you know, because Andre's really, really stressed out, like, because he doesn't like to see other people, like, being taken advantage of and, like, people's rights being violated. So he gets, like, so worked up. And that's how he met my son, actually. That's how I, you know, because he helped my son.
Okay.
My son got locked up back in the day when he was young. And it was, like, an ordeal because I didn't, you know, you don't have any rights when you're locked up. So I didn't know what was going on or whatever. And then Andre's the one who was reaching out to me about my son. And, you know, so that's how it, he is. Yeah. So,
That's
cool.
Wow. I didn't know the story on that.
Yeah. So back in the day, like, my son got locked up at school, and because he had already turned 18, he got locked up in prison, in jail, you know, county. So you don't, like, okay, so Devontae started acting up, and because, like, you know, when you're in that place, you have to show your, like, I guess you have to be, like, you know, you gotta, like, man up, you know, like a ego thing, like you have to show, you know, that you're not going to be taken advantage of or whatever. So, like, he got quit. He did what he had to do to, like, prove himself, my son, you know, and that's how he ended up meeting Andre, because Andre was in the same place, because he was, it's like a holding or something. Anyway, he ended up getting favor from Andre because Andre had a little bit more, a little bit more clout or something. So and he had, like, a little bit more clout, like, so he was able to, like, let me know what was up. Andre was able to let me know it was up on behalf of my son. So,
right.
Then
okay,
my son got out. Yeah, and then my son got out, and then he ended up going back in, like, a little bit later. But at that time, Andre had already, like, developed, like, a friendship with my son. Like, I don't know, like, a older brother-type friendship. And so
yeah.
he was starting to, like, reach out and call my son. And, like, it impacted mm-hmm. Devontae at the time because he was like, oh, you know, my own father doesn't really care about me, but this dude from jail, he cares about me more. So that's how that all started. That started,
oh,
like,
wow.
back in 2000.
Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, he's back in that place. It's the county because he had court. Remember he had court?
Yeah, what happened in court?
And, well, they don't know. Like, it's like red tape. Basically, it's red tape. They're trying to, because the DA and, like, agreed, like, it's all good. Like, you know, like, they were in agreement that, you know, that the time served would be okay. So they have to wait for the judge. So it's all, like, red tape, and he's just waiting. So
okay.
He got real nervous, and he got so upset because he thought, like, they were playing with him, and because that county is real corrupt,
right.
Prophet Randy, like, known for corruption. And so he thought, oh, my gosh, everything's falling through. And I was just like, no, don't think about man. Think about God. Like, if God wants you to come
yeah.
out, you'll be all right. You'll be out, you know. And then it's just like he's been triggered. He's just triggered because that – there's so much stuff going on in that place, like how they're not treating people right. And he said this young kid, which reminded me of my son, was in there, and he was having his name is Kamel, because I was praying for him. His name is Kamel. He's young. He's only, like, I think 20, and he hasn't had any contact with his family, and he's been in restrictive, which you're not supposed to be in restrictive unless you have a disciplinary action. But this kid, I guess Andre saw it, and he was like, I saw it all go down. They, like, went in there and tased this kid because he asked for medical. He was asking for, like, you know, like, for psychiatric. Like, he was not doing well.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, and so he was like, you're not supposed to do that. They can't tase you, you know. They're not supposed to tase you for no reason, you know. And he got so mad, and he's just getting, like, his, seems like Andre's mental health is not good. Like, he's so stressed out and, like, so, like,
yeah, part of it may be a
stuff.
Test, too. I mean, what he's going through, if he starts acting out in the wrong way, you know, it could be part of the test. Sometimes they do a lot of things. I'm not saying there's not corruption, that there's corruption in everything. But it could be a test for him to see if he starts acting out, you know, in the wrong way. I'm sure
yeah.
he won't, but I'm just saying that it could be just a big test for him to, you know, it's in the judge's hands, and I don't know, it just could be a big test to see how he, you know, responds with, you know, fighting the system or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I told him that. I did tell him that. But I didn't say it was a test from the system. I said God. Like, you know, like, you have to put in God's hands.
But God uses systems to test us, you know.
Yeah.
Just like you go to Bible school, sometimes they test you. They see, you know, what you're going to do in certain circumstances. They create the circumstance themselves. It's not like it's evil or bad. They just try to see how you handle things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's evil because of my son, it brings back, you know, it triggers me, and it's just a corrupt. It gets deeper because, like I said, when my son was involved in that system, the address is 666 Walnut Street. It looks like this evil, wicked, well, not, it looks like
yeah.
a gothic, like, you know, back in the day, castle,
right.
Prison thing. But anyway, so that's
okay.
what's happening, and
right.
it was interesting
so,
how
okay,
you
let me,
had
let me
said
ask
it.
You, let me ask you some questions. So the judge,
sure.
so he's going through a red tape thing. He went to court, and they didn't give him the final, and so now he's got to go before the. You got to wait for the judge. Does he know when that's going to happen?
Nope. And that's another thing that he's, like, so upset about. You know, and I said, you know what I said? The same thing, Prophet Randy. Like, I was like, it's because, you know, I was discerning. I said, it's because you don't have control. You tried to, like, he tried to figure out every possible avenue. He thought it was in the bag, you know, with the lawyer and the legal system. And I said, now he feels like there's, like, a monkey wrench. And I said, but it doesn't matter. I said, because God is sovereign, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not in control of our destinies when we surrender. So I was looking at it like that. Like, I wasn't looking at it, like, in a way, like, oh, it's the worst thing because you know, he thinks, like, you know, the system's corrupt. But I was thinking, like, well, no, I said, God wants to show you that no matter what, he's trustworthy, and he wants you to be leaning on him, not the system, not courts, not trying to figure things out yourself.
Exactly.
That's how I looked at it. But, I mean, how...
Yeah.
How do you explain that to somebody, you know, without sounding, you know?
Yeah, we just got to get
like
their eyes back on Jesus. I mean, that's what our job is sometimes, is to get people's eyes back on Jesus. I get my eyes off Jesus sometimes. I need somebody to come along and say, hey, get your eyes back on the Lord, man. God's in control. You know, when we talk about tonight about how people, God never forces anybody to do anything or puts them in a position where he forces them. Well, he did it with Joseph all the time. That's the only way he could get him where he belonged, because he had to force him to go there. I mean, they lied on him. God let him lie on him. God let him throw him out. That was all God designed. And God forced him to go to Egypt, you know, to because he knew that Joseph wasn't going to understand all that. Just like a lot of us, we don't understand the sovereign will of God in our lives sometimes. It didn't make any sense. Who would ever want me to be in the Biden administration? You know, if I got called up to go to be part of the Biden administration, probably half the Christians would go, oh, look at that. He's of the devil now. He's of the devil.
Right.
Because they don't understand. Maybe God wants to use us to do something there, to bring some kind of influence. But people don't see that. They just kind of have their little Christian image of how everything's supposed to fit together, and God will never force anybody to do anything. Yeah, well, he does.
Well, that brings me to, like, you're reading my mail in a way, because, like, I was looking at things. I was so amazed. I was like, God, you really, really strengthened me. And he's really done a work on me over the years, because I was in the same position years ago when my son was locked up. I was so stressed out, and I was just focused on the corruption and the injustice of what I saw was happening and all this other stuff. So this time around, I got triggered, but I didn't get triggered in a way where it took me down. It triggered me in a way to go into warfare prayer, you know, and I found myself, like, just spontaneously singing in the spirit, praying in the spirit, like, just, and I felt like I was getting downloads, like Holy Spirit was showing me, like, how he's using this situation for something bigger than, you know, Devante, Andre. It's more about systems.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I start praying in the spirit and warring in the spirit and interceding in that manner, it's not just for that situation. It's like something bigger. So I was looking at it like that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how you were saying, like, how God uses and allows these things. I feel like the way you were talking tonight is go ahead.
Yeah, half the time God doesn't let us know what we're praying in the spirit, because what we're praying in the spirit is the opposite of what we think we're supposed to be doing. So here we are praying in the spirit. You're going to go to Egypt. And in my personal prayer, let's say Joseph's personal prayer is like going, God, you know, my brothers kicked me out. I don't know what I did. I'm sorry. Whatever I did, if I did something wrong, give me back home, God. Take me back home. My daddy and my mama and my family. I know you're a family, God. Please give me back there. That's what his human prayer was. But in his spirit, if he would have been able to pray in tongues, his tongues would have been saying, you're on your way to Egypt. You're going to spend some time in jail. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really hell. But everything's going to be good, because I'm going to bring you through. You're going to end up on the other side. It's going to be a real good. Anyway.
Yeah. And guess what, Prophet Randy? It's so interesting, because I started singing. Before I went into warfare tongue, I was singing some elaborate song in the spirit. So I was just like, okay, you know, with Holy Spirit, because it was so spontaneous, you know. And then another thing is, one of the last times you prayed about this certain court situation, there was two times you prayed, the week before and then the week, you know, like when you just pray over everybody night. So you said, the servant of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. And then you laughed and you said, yeah, the servant of the Lord. And I was just like, yeah, and then you prayed for me and you like attached me to it. And I was like, what is he attaching me to this prayer for? You know, I was just like, okay, God, please give me some understanding on this. I need some clarity. What does this mean? You know, so I just see it like all like unfolding, like it's unraveling. And it's just amazing. Cool. And then I went, because you were like, I never seen you before. I never saw you before, or whatever. Back in the day when you used to do the blood on the doorpost thing, back in the day, I sent you pictures of me, Devante, and then I sent you a picture of Andre, too. So you probably don't remember, because that was like 2015 or 16. So you do have a picture somewhere in there, but I'll send you another one, because then Andre was like, send him another one. I must, you know, send him a picture so he can know. So I'll send you another one.
Great. Okay.
So I just think it's very interesting, Prophet Randy, that how you, I don't know, like how we try to interpret the words or the prayer one way, and it's like it comes to pass another way. So I just thought I would share that with you, because and then
cool,
the whole
yeah.
thing what you were talking about tonight, and just like even when you were talking about being handed over to Satan, you know, I was just like, thanks for that, because I had prayed those prayers already. It came out of my mouth, and I'm like, and my mother's like, what are you saying that for? I don't know. You know, what does that mean? And I was like, well, I don't know, but it's like, I think it means, you know, so that the saving, like to destruction of the flesh for the saving of the soul. It's for the soul, so don't worry. Paul said it. You know, I was just like, you know, my mother got mad when I was praying those prayers. But I believe that we can pray a prayer of asking God to cause someone to come into divine alignment to his will, because we got to be careful about praying witchcraft prayers, you know. So I just pray, you know, God, cause this person by your will to come in alignment with your will. Like, I won't pray my will. I'll pray, God's
will. We're trying to pray people into what we think they're supposed to be doing, especially for our own children. You know, I can imagine, you know, Jacob praying for Joseph, oh, dear God, send him to Egypt, you know, so he can really suffer a lot and go to prison and, you know, spend time, you know. No, his father's praying like, keep him close to me, God. That's my baby. He's my favorite. You're really going to use him in a great way, you know. And so, you know, sometimes parents, you know, we as parents, we pray prayers out of our own understanding. And, you know, we've all done it. I've probably done it more than anybody, I'm sure, but you know, to pray in the spirit, that's why God gave us the gift of tongues and praying in the spirit, is because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. We pray in the spirit, you know, and if we wait long enough and let God kind of give us the interpretation, we'll start hearing God say, yeah, hand him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so his soul will be saved, because God's interested in his soul. He's not interested in his, you know, thing. It's a last resort thing that God does to make sure somebody makes it to heaven or gets, you know, or whatever, gets right with God.
Yep. I agree.
All right.
Prophet Randy, you know, you also said, you know, for Andre, you said, oh, you were praying, you were talking about Hagar and stuff. I was talking to you, too, but
I remember that.
It was I think it was the offering, so you couldn't hear me, and I was just like, Hagar, you know, I was talking at the same time. It was so funny. Anyway, you said about, you know, when he says Elroy, the God who sees.
I see you.
And that was so interesting. Yeah, and that came up, too. Because he felt, speaking of Andre, he felt so, like, alone. He wasn't expressing that, like, oh, God don't see me. But it was more like just that place where you just feel, like, so much stress and anxiety. And
The Garden of Gethsemane.
You know, so I, yeah. So, I just wanted to share that with you. Because you don't know him, but I feel like you're, you know, like you've been involved for all these years. So, like you know him in the spirit, or the Lord knows him, and then he's using you in that manner.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. God knows him, and it's like, I know you, I see you. I remember that. That was a beautiful, I felt very emotional when I went there with that. I just wanted to weep almost when I was praying that over him. And I said, God, you know, I see you. And Hagar was not even you know, she was like bringing forth, you know, Ishmael. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. And God was so compassionate because she was a human being. You know, it wasn't her fault that they picked her to do that with. That wasn't her fault. You know, and it's like God understood that. He goes, man, you know, I see you. I'm even going to bless your son. He's going to be a wild turkey, but he's going to be a wild donkey, but I'm going to bless him. And, you know, I see you. I know you. I love you. It's a beautiful, heartwarming thing to watch God talk to somebody like that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to move on, I guess. Anything you want to pray about
now? Are you going to pray? Are you going to pray?
Yeah.
And then you're going to move on? Okay. I just asked that because I have to record it, you know. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Prophet Randy. God bless.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. God bless you. Thank you so much. Okay. Yeah, we're going to pray. We always, sometimes I forget to pray at first, but whatever. Thank you, Lord, for Andre, God. We just thank you for giving him your grace, God, that this thing, that this test he's in, God, that he will, that you're working in him. You know, submission to you. We don't submit necessarily to authority because authority can be, you know, can be corrupt. But when you look beyond the corruption and you see that God can use a corrupt person, look how many times God used corrupt people. He used to corrupt people all the time. He is. I don't know if Nebuchadnezzar was corrupt or not, but he wasn't a godly king. You know, he was probably a good man in a lot of ways, but a very smart man. But, you know, God showed him the end times. He showed him all the kingdoms. He showed a heathen man all the kingdoms of the earth. You know, the gold, silver, the legs of, you know, metal and clay and the whole thing. He showed a heathen king that. I mean, God can use anybody he wants to. He can use a corrupt person. He can say whatever he wants, whenever he wants to. But the thing is that we do is we submit to God. Because when you're under control, like when Joseph was under the control of the prison guard, you know, what you gonna do? Say, I don't wanna be here, I don't belong here, this is not fair. No, you learn to just like, okay, God, you know, this is the way this is right now. I don't like it, but I'm gonna serve you in it, I'm gonna bless you in it, I'm gonna submit myself therefore to you. And when I submit myself to you, you're gonna have your way. So we, like you said, like you're telling him, and that's great. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and then he'll flee. Amen. It's not resist the devil. Every time we think we got something that we're having injustice going on, no, we submit ourselves, therefore, to God in everything, like Joseph did. It was unjust. It was unfair. But yet, at the same time, he saw the sovereignty of God working to get him in a place he would have never gone had it not been for God, you know, wheeling and dealing, if you will, the circumstances. So, Lord, I thank you for giving Andre the grace to submit to you and knowing that we can't fight the leadership. We can't fight the leadership. You can speak in truth and speak in love, but be respectful, even if they are corrupt, you know, because God has given them authority. Sometimes God gives corrupt people authority for certain reasons, and he can use them. He can use them for good. He can use them for evil. He can use them however he wants to, because it's God that, you know, we think God didn't control things. Oh, believe me, friend. He gets ready to control something. He takes control of stuff. And, you know, he gets his way. He can't force people to worship him. He can't force people, you know, to go to heaven or go to hell. But he can force circumstances on them that will cause them to yield to him. So thank you, Lord, for that. Teach Andre that. Let this be his next season of learning and growing and giving it over to you to keep from getting that anger, that unrighteous anger, building up in him, Lord, and that love for God, that submission to the Father. We'll see that submission to the Father. They may think, oh, he's just sucking up to the leadership. He's sucking up. He's just sucking. No, But when you're submitting to God, you know, the people think, I've had people accuse me of this. I was there for 10 years with this pastor, and the Lord said, do what he tells you to do, you know. And I went, okay. And so because I did that, he always had me prophesying. He always had me preaching. He always had me taking services all the time. You know why? Because I never pushed myself on him. I never said, I've got a word from God. Better let me give it now because I'm a man of God. I never did. I did that one time. It was the biggest mistake I ever made, and I never did it again. After 10 years, I did it one time, and God so corrected me. He so rebuked me. He said, I don't care. Keep your mouth shut. I told you to do what he asked you to do. I went, oh, okay, gotcha. You know, he was a human being. He was a frail human being. He made mistakes. I didn't believe everything he taught on and believed in, but God told me to submit myself to him, and so I did it, and because of that, you know, God used him. And God worked around him and worked through him many times. So thank you, Lord, for that, for Andre. Thank you, Lord, for Devontae. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Devontae teaching Devontae the same thing, how to submit, therefore, to you. When we're submitted to you, you know, we look at life a whole different way. And, yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, that's what Joseph had to learn. He had to learn how to submit himself, therefore, to God. And do the best he could with what he knew and what he had, and give God the glory and give God the thanks and submit, therefore, to God. Therefore, you know, he was submitted to God in all that trouble, all that stuff, all that unfair, unjust stuff, and therefore he ended up right in the place God wanted him. Why? Because he submitted to God in the midst of injustice and unfairness and mistreatment and all kinds of things. And because he submitted himself, therefore, to God, nothing could stop him from getting in the will of the Father. When you're submitted to God, it doesn't matter if you're in a hell, you're in the most hellacious situation in your life with everybody in the whole situation you're in is totally unjust, totally evil. God, if you're submitted to God, God will make sure if you're supposed to rule that place, you will rule it. If you're supposed to be out of there, he'll have you out of there. Doesn't matter what they say or do. So thank you, Lord, for teaching them that, Father, in Jesus' name, and bless Lisa, Father. Show her how to declare and decree over Andre and Devontae that they are servants of God, men of God, servants of God, and declare that over them, decree that over them, Father, and give them something in the Spirit to take a hold of. Start seeing themselves as men of God, as people who are submitted to God. May not be perfectly submitted to God, but you start out with a little bit. You start out with a little bit you can. And then a little more. And the more you see that it works, the more you see God works in spite of it. He worked in spite of evil people. And the more you learn to submit, therefore, to God, then the evil gets resisted. The evil that Joseph said what Satan meant for evil, you know what resisted that and kept that thing from coming to pass, the evil coming to pass for him? Because he submitted himself, therefore, to God. Therefore, the devil, what the devil meant for evil and all of it, totally got turned around. Why? Because Joseph was so powerful? No, because he was submitted, therefore, to God. Therefore, he was able to resist the evil plan of the enemy working instead of God's perfect plan. All right, let's go here to 863-268. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy, how are you doing?
Hey, it's Nikki?
Yes, Nikki.
I didn't even recognize your number, girl. Awesome. Well, let's pray for you. All right.
It's 11:11. Okay. I got Stephanie on the phone with me. I said it's 11:11.
Oh, you got Stephanie on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
all right.
It's 11:11, Randy.
It's 11:11 right now? No kidding.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's 10:11 here. It's 11:11 there.
Oh. And she said, and Stephanie said, and my birthday is on the 22nd, which is 11 plus 11.
That's good, yeah. Wow. So she in town, or where's she at?
She's in town right now. She just came back from the Carolinas, and she's going back to Germany Friday.
Oh, my gosh. Is she going back already? Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so... Now, are we going to talk to her, or am I just going to pray over her?
You can pray over her. She
okay.
can just
yeah,
like, re-listen to it. Yeah.
I got you. There you go. Yeah, okay.
Unless I can put the headphone thing up to her. Let's see if she can hear you. I'm going to put the headphone up to her. Okay, try.
Okay. Hello, testing. Stephanie, can you hear me? Can you hear us? Hello.
Stephanie, can you hear
me?
Okay, she said she could hear you. So I'm just going to stick the speaker right up to the headphone, okay?
Okay, sounds good. And I'll pray for her first. And
okay,
we'll
here
you
go.
All right, thank you. There you go. Okay, I muted you just so I can have no background noise. Thank you, Lord, for Stephanie tonight, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're making her a light, like a light in the midst of darkness. You're teaching her how to get the oil, and God's really going to teach you how to, you know, be like the wise virgins, plenty of oil. And God's really going to supply you with oil. And as he gives you wisdom, you're going to be known as the girl who had the wisdom, had the wisdom on how to, you know, do what God said and obey God rather than obey man. And God says, I'm going to put you like a light pole in the midst of the darkness, and you're going to be like a tower, like a what do they call that? You know, like in the ocean when you have the light tower, the light, I can't think what it's called. My brain's going, yeah. So what I see, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing this like a tall pole, like a highline pole, and it's tall, and there's this light, and it's not a bright white light, it's kind of a golden light, kind of a yellowish golden light, and so that way it's not too offensive, it's not too aggressive, it's not blind to everybody, but it becomes a light that people will be attracted to come and be drawn to it. Where it's the glory of God, it's the oil, it's the voice of the oil of God speaking through you. And the more you learn how to speak from the voice of the oil, you know, like the five wise virgins. And the five foolish, you know, five wise, that they learned to, you know, they had their oil and they learned to live off the oil. They learned to let the oil, when the oil gets on you of God, the glory of God gets on you, you learn to speak from that oil, speak from the anointing. So I thank you, Jesus, for her, God, using her as a light in the midst of the darkness. So you're going to feel like you're alone many times. You're going to stand like you're a pole standing out there in the midst where there's no other poles. You're the only light, so to speak, in the area that you're in. And God wants you to know that that's the way he set it up. That's the way he has it. And he's going to teach you how to draw people to him, draw them, not with some bright light that blinds everybody, but it's a golden light, like a golden glowish light, like the glory of God that will draw people. And be gentle, and to be it be very, you know, light is light, so it reveals things. But it's very, very, you know. So you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like you're the only pole out there with the light on, and you probably will be in the areas that you go to, because that's your purpose. Your purpose is to be a light in the midst of darkness. And even if you, because God has taught you how to stand alone, you learn how to stand alone, and God has taught you that, and you have been trained on how to stand alone. And so, just like Joseph had to stand alone. Job in the Bible, who basically he stood alone because his wife was so overwhelmed with the death of the children. You know, she said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" So he was basically by himself, alone. And so you've experienced that in some ways. People said, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just you know, forget?" And because Job had to learn how to stand alone, when he did learn to stand alone, God blessed him double. So you're going to see the blessing of God double in your life. At the same time, you're going to be standing alone with the light of God. And know that that's part of it. He's trained you. You're well equipped to be alone. Just like the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, I made you to be rejected. It doesn't mean that he's made you for everybody to reject you. He just made you so that when you get rejected, it doesn't affect you. Right? So it didn't mean that when you're made to be you're made for rejection. God spoke that to me personally one time. He said, I've made you for rejection. What does that mean? That means that when rejection comes, it doesn't affect you. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean you're made for everybody to reject you. It just means that when you get rejected, that it doesn't affect you. All right? So God's really training you that, giving you that grace, and it's going to be good, and you're going to learn to pray differently, speak differently, see things differently. God's never going to let you see things from a religious point of view, but from the what the voice of God is saying through you. Amen. All right. So we'll go to Nikki. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for Nikki, Father. We thank you for the training you've given her, the ability to her source as never before. I see God really cutting ties with you to where, you know, in a sense, you know, God uses certain things to bring to be our source for a while, and he's done it with me. He used this, he used that, and then all of a sudden he didn't. They just disappear. They get removed. And so when God starts, you know, changing things and shifting us into a whole nother level of provision, a whole nother level of God's provision, that some of the other stuff kind of dries up because God is getting us to totally focus on him and purifying our ability to get our provision from the Father and only from the Father. And, you know, because, you know, sometimes we can, you know, speak to people and talk to people and, you know, please pray for me. I need this. I need that. And they'll help you because they help you. That's a beautiful thing. Nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. We should do that. But there's that place of standing still before the Lord and watching him provide for you in ways that you've never seen yet. And so one of the things that God's trying to do is bring you to a whole other realm of provision so that the provision that you get will go to a higher level where you can not just live, but expand the provision to expand in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for Charles. God, we ask you to bless Charles. God, we thank you for his feet walking and treading upon serpents, treading upon things that, you know, places that he's been before, where devils fear to tread, where angels fear to tread. But, you know, in a sense that God showing you that the things that you've overcome, that God has brought you through, that is giving you power to tread upon those serpents. Tread upon serpents, to tread upon them, to stand upon them, to take authority over them, to cause them to submit. Like when Jesus walked on, you know, on property or land somewhere, the demons would come out and say, why have you come to torment us? Because he walked in that realm of authority where they were under his feet, right? But they couldn't really do anything. Like, you know, what are you going to do with us? Like, you know, we know we're submitted. We know that you have that authority. What are you going to do with us? It wasn't like, you can't touch us. You can't. No, they'd be like, what are you going to do to us? You know, it's a whole different realm. What are you going to do to us? Like, you know, he had authority over them. So thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Nikki, what's going on over there?
Wow. Hey, that's pretty cool. Charles didn't get to hear it, but he will tomorrow. He'll love that. We've just been enjoying family time and, you know, today was like a very, very, very special day. Got together with family and just hung out and went to this trampoline place where it's a giant trampolines, and the kids got to jump on the trampolines, and Charles is a big kid, and oh yeah, there's slides where you jump off the trampoline from a slide, and yeah, it was just like a real fun, special day, and Destiny was there.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got to have both my girls and both of my grandchildren, and we just had a fun day, you know. And then went over
to my family reunion.
Kind of like it, yeah. And went over mom's, and my mom got to see, you know, two of her children.
How's your mom doing?
Well, she's doing a lot better. Yeah, she's doing a lot better.
She got a replacement, I think.
Yeah, she got her hip replaced, and she's moving around. She gets up by herself now. She takes a shower by herself and all that. She still ain't, you know,
great.
Full running, but she's doing pretty good. She goes and gets herself something to eat and sits down, and, you know, she'll get up and sit in her chair and all. And she gets out of bed by herself.
How old is she now?
She's 70.
She's like in her 60s? No way. 70s? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's 70. Or she could be 73.
That's young.
Yeah, she's young.
Yeah,
so,
that's good.
Yeah. So it was good
awesome.
For my mom because she had to be around both of her children, and then she got to be around two out of three of them. And then she got to be around the only two of her great-grandchildren and, of course, her favorite son-in-law, Charles. And so I have a brother, and so there is no other son-in-law.
Oh,
that's
I
really
see.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two kids. And so, you know, a boy and a girl. And so,
yeah.
It's just real special. We don't get together like this. And if we had in the past or something, you know, liquid demons, I call them, alcohol would come out and just all kinds of stuff. But today it was like early before you could get good and drunk in my family. And so, we made it a point to, you know, Destiny was doing so good. I'm proud of her. She's really trying to stop drinking to the best of her ability.
Yeah.
Of course, she realizes that God's going to have to help her, but she's
also
in a place where she, you know, she's like, I don't want to drink, and so she does the best she can. And today she was doing really good. And so it's just very special.
Awesome.
Just very special. And it was like a happy, almost like a heavenly thing, because everybody was, I would say, on their best behavior. Does that make any sense? It's very strange.
Yeah.
I mean, usually family, when you hang out, right? Okay, well,
today
was like very respectful and cheerful and loving and caring and genuinely and... Yeah, so anyway, that was my day today. And but we've been having a ratatouille in our house, or whatever you want to call it, a rat in our house. And so Charles, we found the hole where he was getting in at. So we, like, Charles fixed the floor, and then we started tearing the floor out because the more he tore, the more he realized, oh, my God, we got a leak. The next thing you know, our whole floor in our house tore out. And our toilet and everything else. And then it got up underneath the sink, and we realized it wasn't our toilet that was leaking. It was our sink. And it was like, what just happened to us? And so Charles spoke to a man at the church, and he called a contractor, and a couple guys came out here, ramboed our house and put new floors in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had to stay in a hotel for a couple nights and stuff. It was crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was great, though, because come back home, we felt like when they remodel your home or whatever, that's what we felt like.
Yeah.
When we came back, we're like, wow, we got new floors. And anyway, so we went through that this week. And yeah. So we just, you know, things are happening. But God's showing up, like, at attention. It's so awesome.
Yes.
And the guy that was doing one of the floors, his name was James, and he just looked at me and Charles, and he's like, do y'all need money? And I just said, if the Lord speaks to you, you know, and I just kept my mouth shut. He come back, gave us $100. He's like, I really like y'all. I want to hang out with y'all. I want to always be your friend. I love you guys. And this guy's like, don't know us at all. And he's just like, I'm your best friend now.
Wow.
It's
That's
so
awesome.
Good. Yeah, so God's just so beautiful. You know, he just brings people together, even in the middle of a disaster. And it's just, I mean, I'm like, you know, you walk in an area with God that you only dream about, and then it comes to a realization, you know? And, that's what's happening. So, anyways.
So Stephanie is in town. She's going back to Germany. Is it Germany or London? I can't remember. Yeah, Germany. Okay.
She left.
Going back to Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Germany got a brand new... you know, They got a brand new chancellor. I mean, they got all kinds of things going. The government's all doing a bunch of changing over there. And with all this stuff going on with Russia and, you know, all that, yeah, that's kind of crazy, some of the stuff going on.
Yeah, she told the whole family this today. She said, "We won't be back for 3 years." And we're like, "What?
Oh, no.
3 years? Why?" She said, "Because, you know, it's expensive, first off." And she said that Lillian's starting school and that she really needs to settle down with her. And, you know, and they're not leaving Germany for 8 years. So the next time I see Lillian in the natural, supposedly, I mean, I'm believing, you know, either I'll be, God will show up and, hey, I'll go to Germany. She'll have to
there
come here. I'll go there, you know, me and Charles.
Exactly.
And, you know, so, but she's like, yeah, Lillian will be 8 years old the next time y'all see her and all and blah, blah, blah. And
oh my gosh.
Like, nah, you don't know, Stephanie, stop. And she's crying, you know, she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And but yeah, she's going back to Germany, and yeah, her husband's over there now. He's been over there for about a month. He came for a month to Florida, and then he left, and Stephanie and Lillian stayed for an extra 6 weeks, I think it was, or even longer. They came day before Christmas, and she's leaving Friday. So that's a couple months.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. And Kyle had a month leave, and the military paid for
it. Oh, okay.
So it was like, you know, a free trip or whatever, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're
interesting.
Going back.
So she's, yeah, so she's going to be leaving here in just a few days. So that's not, so that was probably good. She got to spend all the time with the with everybody today, I'm guessing.
Yeah, she spent a week with her dad in the Carolinas and her stepmom and three brothers. My son lives in Carolinas with his dad area. He don't live with his dad. He bought him a brand new house. And so my son is third, well, he's 29, and he bought himself a new home up there in the foothills of North Carolina. And so he just did that like a couple months ago. And so Stephanie went up there. Dad came down here and got her. And he's got, I want to say, a couple hundred acres of land up there. And he's on a real farm. Stephanie, like, was helping him fix the fence because he's got cows and horses and chickens and all that stuff. And her dad works for NASCAR race car. He's a welder. And so he started a business up there, and he's real good friends with the Nemechek, Joe Nemechek. He's our hometown, Lakeland. And of course, Publix, which is a big grocery chain down here in Florida. He's real good friends with all of them, and they moved their company up there, and he went there to manage it, and he's part owner in it and all that. Anyways, so he bought him a big house up there and a bunch of land, and so Stephanie and Lillian went up there, enjoyed her daddy and all that. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Then she came back down here. She did that twice. She went up there with Kyle, when Kyle was here.
So they've been here
Kyle
like a month, so yeah.
Yeah, and then he left, and she came back here, and then she hung out, you know, in our hometown and all. And because she was born and raised here, she's got a lot of friends. You know, she went to elementary, junior high, high school here, all that. And she worked at the big old hospital in our town. Stephanie did in the surgery department, and so... You know, she just has friends everywhere and all. And, she had a great time. She's sad. She's like, I don't want to go back to Germany. You know. But Lillian is missing her daddy, like, bad. She loves her daddy. Yeah.
So, he's her daddy, baby.
Can't go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's you know, I kept seeing her like a light pole out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like shining a light, like she was all alone, felt like she was, but that God was using her as like a light. That was kind of a, you know, kind of an interesting thing, but I could feel that, you know, feeling, you know, not that she's by herself, but, you know, feeling that alone thing, like, but yet God using it at the same time in a real powerful way. So something's going on with all that.
Well, actually, I can tell you, I can elaborate on that. She actually is
okay.
In a place where there is not a lot of Christianity. And the village, they call it village,
uh-huh.
And the village that she
right.
lives in is people that are upper class.
Okay.
So they're like doctors and, you know, lawyers and stuff like that.
Right.
And a lot of them don't have God in their life. And and so Stephanie and Kyle, he's like, ah, let's drink and have a great time. And he's, you know, he believes in God and all, but yeah. And
yeah.
So he tells Stephanie, lighten up, have a drink. Stephanie's like, nope, not doing it. I don't drink. I'm not going to drink. I don't fit in with all this. This is not who I am. And so she actually is alone. And so for you to tell her that God designed her to be there and do what she's doing, she needed to hear that. Because she's like over
well,
this
he's given her,
country. Huh?
Mm-hmm. He's given her the ability to do it. Not everybody could do that. You know, it's like with me, when the Lord spoke to me, he said, I've made you for rejection. It doesn't mean that people are going to reject me because I'm made to be rejected. It just means that when I am rejected, it doesn't make me bitter or, you know, I'm made for it. In other words, I can, you know, I can work right through it. And it's, with her being alone, it's like God has prepared her and made her to where she can handle it. It doesn't make it easy, but it becomes her set apartness unto God in that sense.
Yeah, she's been doing it for, 8 years. When she went to Okinawa and then she went to England, you know, that was 4 years in each country there. And now she's in Germany, and she's working on her 9th year. And she loves her hometown and all that. And she's even told Kyle, I'm done with this. After 4 more years, I'm done with it. No more and all that. But if you're created and designed and equipped for a time like this for her, it makes it a lot easier because, I mean, granted, she has been there. She's done it. She's not grumbled too much. You know, she'll call me when she's missing. She gets homesick or whatever. But and then she's grateful, though. She's like, I'm grateful I live here. You know, when she talks about different countries that she lives in.
Yeah.
And she lives a life that most people just dream that they could live. And she lives it.
Right.
You know,
wow.
She actually lives it. But there's a flip side to going to all these wonderful countries and tasting all their wonderful cuisines and stuff, you know. There's a flip side to it. And the flip side is when you live there and you don't know their language, you don't know their culture, and you don't know nobody, and you're an American and a Christian American at that, it puts you in a whole different realm from your day-to-day things that you would do.
Right.
But she found herself, like you said, she has found friends that just genuinely liked her. Even if they weren't serving God too much, she would be the light in their worlds. It's women of her age and stuff. That would have children, maybe Lillian's age, and they would meet at the park or something. Next thing you know, boom, they're coming to each other's house, and then they're being friends, and, you know, that's happened to her. And in England, she had, like, 4 girls like that, and they were totally Wicca, totally I'm a witch and proud of it and all that. And Stephanie ministered to them to the point where they questioned their wanting to be that. And she really believes that she left a seed. You know, they didn't give her heart. Well, one of them did give her heart. Yeah, but, you know, so, hey, Stephanie's like, if I'm just to plant a seed, I'm happy. And But this country, God's introduced her to a whole church that's baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they're like her. And
wow.
She's like, what in the world? I've prayed for 8 years for this. So, you know, but it's still, you drive an hour one way to this place to, you know, enjoy your fellowship with your brothers and sisters for an hour or two. Mm-hmm. Then you're back home. And then you have, you know, the rest of the day that you're in a whole different world. And so.
Right.
But. Yep. I'll tell you something. Right. There's many, many times I would have told her, just come on home, Stephanie. Stop it. I wasn't the one that said curse God and, you know, turn. But
yeah,
I was the one that said, if you're feeling too lonely and it's like messing with you, not good, you know, if it becomes something wrong, like depression
right.
or something like that.
Sure,
then,
sure.
Yeah. Maybe you need to come home, but,
she's not. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's what the Lord's saying tonight is she's made for that, you know. Like some of the rejection some people get in their life from whatever it is, it would destroy them. Other people are made for it. They're made for that, you know. It doesn't make it easy. It doesn't mean that it's always like, you know, no problem, I got it all together. But it just causes you to... You know, it keeps you tight with God. It keeps you seeking Him, and just like with Joseph, look how Joseph was all alone. I mean, he was all alone. He was away from his family. He was rejected by his brothers, cast out, and was among a bunch of heathens. You know, for the rest of his almost the rest of his life, so to speak, and thrown in prison. You know, he was lied on. You know, you're talking about feeling alone. And missing his father spoiled him rotten. He was a spoiled kid. And now he doesn't have any of that. So it's like it all became training for him for the future. And I think that's what it is for her. I think it's training for her future. And one of these days she'll be ruling. She'll be the one in position that instead of people telling her what to do, she'll be telling them what to do. You know, and they'll be looking to her for. You know, what to do and when to do it.
Wow. Yeah, she just texted me and she said, wow, that was amazing. So that was her response to you praying for her.
To what? You mean
to
she
what
listening
you
right
said
now?
To her? Yes, yeah, she heard.
Just now or
she heard,
earlier?
No, no. Well, yeah, earlier when you were praying for her, she heard it.
Okay.
Y'all couldn't communicate, but she could hear it. And she texted me and she said, wow, that was amazing. Like, you hit it right on the head. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that it's all easy. Joseph had a hard time. You know, it was difficult for him. But at the same time, he was made for that. God made him for that. It was his training. And because he was made for that, he was able to be lonely without being lonely. It caused him to go from being spoiled by his natural father to being connected with his heavenly father, you know, totally separated him from human favor, human, you know, fellowship to God fellowship. And then what does he do? He places him in a high position where he's running stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, bless her heart. She definitely called me up on the phone. Man, my Bible study time, and she'll get by herself, you know, with the Lord in the mornings and all. And she'll call me up, Mom, it's just so beautiful. God showed up in my house. And she... Nobody's around. Nobody's around, right? Jillian's at pre-K, and Kyle's at work, and she's in the house all by herself, and, like, nobody else would understand her world, right? And so... She brings me in it, and I'm like, it comes right through the phone on me. And next thing you know, we're having prayer time together, and I'm prophesying.
Yeah.
We have a
Make
great time with each other. Yeah, she told me, she said, I sure am glad you're my mom, because nobody else in the family understands her but me, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so it's beautiful.
She's blessed to have that for sure. I wish I had that. I didn't have that as a in the natural realm. But Carmen says, as one military wife to another, tell her she will grow like she wouldn't have here in the U.S. There's a lot of darkness in Europe. I lived in Germany. I grew in leaps. She will also see the Freemasonry involvement in the military. That's where I began to learn about it. Okay. That's from Carmen.
Oh. Okay. I'll tell her. Yeah.
All right. Martine says, she said, oh, tell Lisa she can get the recording on your podcast. Okay, yeah. She says, a beacon of light. I was trying to think of a beacon, a lighthouse. That's what I was trying to think of earlier. Martine, thank you for that, Martine. A lighthouse. That's what I was trying to say. Like, God's going to use her to be a lighthouse. And, yeah, so thank you, Martine, for that. I got some help, and I didn't know I had it. They're waiting for me. Cool.
Yeah, Stephanie, she knew exactly what you were saying. And we just love you, Randy. I thank you so much for ministering to my family and to me. And I know you do. We love you, and we love it, too. We're like, you know, even Destiny, I'm catching her. She's like, are you listening to Randy tonight, Mom? You become very contagious in our family.
That's sweet.
Listen, Charles would be listening to you as well if we had like two phone lines in our home, but we don't. Our cell phones, they run
don't
it
work,
by
yeah.
the minute or something, and so it's like really expensive. So I'm the only one that gets a phone. I don't have like a speaker on my phone.
This
so
is hard.
I just, he's like, well, I guess because I'm a hog. I'd be like, I'm calling Randy. And he's like, what about me?
Yeah.
The poor guy, he's worked all day and all. And then the poor guy, when it's time to give the phone to him, he's snoring over there,
Yeah.
So he just misses, and I tell him later or something, I'd be like, man, you got to listen to what Randy said. And so I podcast you and all. And I don't know if you know this, but I get you on my emails, and it shows. I get you on my emails, and it shows your service the night before. So
on email?
I can. Yep.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
I mean, I don't send it out. I don't even know how it does that. That's crazy.
Yep. Yep. I was like, I love
interesting.
It. Yep.
That is so
I
cool.
I love it.
Wow.
Because all you have to do is push it, and you've got like a red letters, and you push the red letters, and boom, I'm right in your service.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. I did not even know they existed. That's crazy. Wow.
That's probably why I had to tell you, because I wasn't going to tell you,
I didn't know that.
I got reminded. The Holy Spirit said, tell him that you get on the email his services.
So that happens with every service or mine or just everything.
Every service that you are on.
Okay, but not PGN. That's what I'm asking. Wow. Okay. So somehow or another. I don't understand that. That's really cool though. Great. All right. Cool.
Yes, it makes it
awesome.
Real nice for me. I'm like, I can listen to Randy anytime I want to. It spoils me bad.
Now, your email, I don't even think I even know you have an email address. I mean, I don't. So somehow or another you got caught into the system of that, and it connected you. So that's really cool. Maybe other people have the same thing. I don't know.
Okay, well, what happened was when I downloaded PGN, in the app, I had to put like my name, my information, and my email went in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're getting that from the app, from the PGN app.
Yes.
Okay. So. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know how that. I couldn't figure out how that would happen. That makes sense. So if anybody listening tonight want to have the same thing, possibly where it's sent to you through your email, go to the App Store. on your phone, whatever kind of phone you have, go to your app store and look up Randy Chandler. The app doesn't have my name on it. It has PGN written on it, but it's kind of a bluish with a red ring around it. It has PGN written on it, and it's free. Just download it. But yeah, I think you have to search for Randy Chandler, or maybe put Randy Chandler /PGN. I haven't searched it for a long time, but and then do what Nikki did. You know, fill out your email address and it'll be sent to you, I guess. That's really cool. I didn't know it did that.
So this is what comes up on my email. Blog Talk Radio reminder. And then I push on it and it says Randy's Personal Prophetic. And then you push on it again,
right,
and it says Blog Talk Radio, Randy's, and then it shows how long, it's 180 minutes. It gives your email.
Right.
The author is Randy Chandler, and then it says www.randychandler.com, and you can push on it, or it gives your phone number, the 319 number, and it tells you listen now, and you can push listen now, or it goes into the description of it,
uh-huh,
and it says Randy will minister to you personally and prophesy to you live during the show. Call in and get your word. Text PGN at 214-505-8719 to let Randy know you are waiting for your word. If you feel that you need more help, don't hesitate to get back to us. Greetings, Blog Talk Radio team.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, so Carmen just sent me the, okay, so you go to your app store and you search for, I think you have to search for Randy Chandler, because when we put that all together, for some reason, my name got caught up in there, but most people know that's by our name. So Randy Chandler or PGN. It's kind of a bluish inner circle, kind of blue on the inside, and has a dark red ring around it. Really kind of beautiful, I think. And just download it on your phone and then do what Nikki's talking about. Get your email connected up, and that'd be cool. Awesome.
Yeah, Blog
cool,
Talk
man.
Radio, it's very strange because – I went through the app, but it gave me Blog Talk, and it gave me a mailing address of Stone Oak Parkway, San Antonio, Texas, which is Blog Talk, isn't it?
I thought it was New York. I don't know.
Oh, well, this is 2088-0 Stone Oak Parkway, San Antonio, Texas, 78258. Our mailing address is... Very strange. And then it tells you if you want to unsubscribe from your mailing list,
yeah,
you know, all that. And it's so wonderful.
Okay, cool.
Yep, and it gives the time, the date, and how long the meeting is. And it's
so
great.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, awesome.
So was strictly the Holy Spirit telling me, because I forgot about that, and I was going to bring something to your attention, and then I was just about to hang up with you just now. So, anyways.
Yeah, I couldn't even figure out how that was working. How did that happen? And then you explained the app, so that makes sense. So anybody can get the app. It's free. Just search for Randy Chandler or PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. Like I say, it's kind of a blue on the inside, and it kind of has a red ring around it. And
check it out.
All right. I guess we'll move on. Thanks for letting me pray over your daughter and over you guys. It's really cool.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay, thank you, too. We love you guys. Okay, bye-bye.
We love you.
All right, thank you so much. Awesome. All right, so you can also see it on Apple TV. One only has to add the Apple podcast to it. You can also watch it on Fire TV and listen to it through your TV. Really? You know, I remember that a long time ago. Did it still do that? It still does that, Carmen? Yes, she says. Okay, let me read that again. You can also see it on Apple TV. One only has to add the Apple podcast to it. Okay, you can also watch it on Fire TV and listen to it through your TV. Wow. I know that we used to do live stream TV. It would show up on Roku,
Roku and other places. Yeah, Roku and whatever. But okay, awesome. we're going to try to get the video going back again. We haven't done video in a while, mainly because I haven't been in a place where I could. But I mean, I could really, really difficult. All right. That's too rocky. That's too rocky. Oh, Roku. Yeah. That's through Roku. Yeah, Roku is R-O-K-U, I think. Roku. I don't know how you spell it, but anyway, there you go. You'll find it, Roku, on your TV. Yeah. I got you. All right. Hey, I'm learning some stuff tonight myself. Thank you guys for telling me that. That's really awesome. All right, let's go here to 720-819. I think this is Jeff and Uke. What are you guys doing over there? Colorado.
Jeff and Uke. They
spoke. Yeah. I know. You're on the show. Jeff and Uke, they don't spook because they're on the show. All right, let's pray for you guys. Jeff, Uke, thank you for being with us tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, God. I thank you, Father, for the tearing away, the ability to tear away. So sometimes God has to tear away things. He has to tear away or separate us out. I see the Lord really lifting burdens, things of. Oh, I should have done this, wish I had done that, could have done that, didn't do that, could have done that. And God, really releasing you guys from any condemnation, any kind of, you know, too much self, you know, there's nothing wrong with self-examining yourself. But sometimes we do it on our own. I self-examine myself. I used to do it all the time and overdo it, overplay it, overwork it. And I'm always just like, you know, then I end up turning, you know, too inward. And, you know, you don't realize you're doing it, but I did it. And so, because we want to, you know, when you love God, you want God to correct you. You want to do things right. You want to be, when you mess up something, you want to fix it. You want to say, I'm sorry, God, you know, let's do this better. And so, and I see God really separating out a lot of false burdens, things that you feel responsible for that are not your responsibility, things you feel like you failed in that you didn't really fail in, but that God was just moving you through it, moving you on, and recapturing you to give you a whole new, you know, new beginning, like new beginnings. Like I keep seeing you guys have, you know, a continual realm of new beginnings or new starts or new whatever, you know, like you start something and then you start something else, you know, a new beginning, then another new beginning. And the sooner that we learn how to not condemn ourselves or to judge ourselves the wrong way, but to, you know, just correct our course, and move on, and that all that condemnation and all that self, you know, self-correction that we do on our own, to be washed away, to be broken off, and then let the Holy Spirit correct. When He corrects, He does it with such love and friendship. He does it with, like, knowing that, you know, I'm God and you're not. I know you don't know what's going on. I know what's going on because I'm God. I'm the Holy Spirit. I know what's happening. You don't know what's happening. I'm going to show you. I'm going to help you. Whatever it takes to get you to get the information, you're going to get it. And so I see God really making transitions to where, you know, you catching the rhythm of a thing, catching the rhythm of a deal, and the rhythm of the heartbeat of a deal. And when you catch the rhythm of the heartbeat of a thing, then you can feel it when it's going too fast, the heart rate's going too fast, too slow, and the heart rhythm is just right. Boom, 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 you know, and it's normal when it's functioning good. Yeah, so catching the heartbeat of a thing, and and this sense of feeling like God is watching over you, you know, a new sense of feeling that God is watching over you. Yeah, so that's really cool. All right, so what's going on with you guys? What are y'all doing over there?
Hey, well, that was a beautiful word. We really needed that. Yuki said, what is that?
So,
well, we recorded it. We're going to analyze it later.
Oh, analyzation. Yeah, there you go. Good.
Break it down. Listen to it.
Exactly.
5-10 times.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's amazing when words come forth. You know, I don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't have any idea what's going on. So he puts in, sometimes the Lord puts in like one flow or something. Then other times he puts in a little flow here, a little flow there. And he gives all these little nuggets that will fit into certain things, you know, that you can apply it to that, you know, sometimes can help.
Yeah, well, it was really just situations we're dealing with right now, and we really took your word to heart about letting the blessing really flow. If you set up a company that is tithing correctly and donating to the church that is also in the flow of not merchandising, and if that comes from a business that's in the world and then that's going to the church and it's all connected and done right, you know, they can be an example for others of a blessing that isn't done properly by a lot of people in a lot of ways, and just the way we describe that over time, we're really trying to set that up and take that to heart and find places we can do it. And it's exciting. We're getting there and getting, you know, website live and products and everything, and it's just coming naturally.
Oh, cool.
But I wanted to talk about, I know, you know, we talked about, we kind of confirmed who the Antichrist is. We haven't been able to share it, and we're keeping an eye out there on world politics and things going on, and I feel like everything has been such a distraction in the media. Just don't look over here. COVID. Don't pay attention to that. COVID. Don't pay attention. And there's a lot of things that are going on that nobody's talking about in the news. And one of them that is really interesting to me is probably something people haven't heard about. It's called the Belt and Road Initiative. And
the what now?
In a lot of ways, it's Belt and Road. Like BELT and road, ROAD. And it's kind of like the 21st century Silk Road. It's really China and Russia building ports, power plants, railways, 5G networks, fiber optic cables. And it's almost like a European Union that is forming, and people aren't really talking about it, but it's connecting the Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia, and Europe. And what China's doing is they're loaning money to a lot of these countries and putting them in debt and building up their infrastructure for the 21st century. So everywhere from Greece, Italy, Saudi Arabia, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, a good majority of Africa. And then they're also bringing in some regional heavyweights, like France and Germany and Spain. They're even going into South America. And China is using their money to just indebt these countries and control their politics through the Communist Party. And it's a very scary kind of EU thing that is forming. And it's really moving along, and they're just, you know, bringing in Syria and Iran and, you know, this Ukraine thing. Ukraine didn't really want to join it. And Russia, Israel, and China are very involved. They're using Israeli technology companies. A lot of people don't realize that Israel is making all of our chips right now. So Intel and AMD-type chips, Microsoft is core-coded in Israel. So they're really controlling the cyber. They're working with Russia, and it's just this whole revelation type rise of, you know, the resources, the technology, the intellectual capital of America just getting stripped out and being sent over to these new countries and new things that are going on. It's all happening right now if you follow it really aggressively, and nobody's talking about it in the news. So just want to share that with you, and really interesting.
Yeah. The whole thing that when the Biden Trump thing happened, you know, what that was, the big revelation on that was that now everything's going to be transferred, you know, basically to Europe. Europe may share it with China and Russia. I don't know what all they're going to do, but that's, you know, that's where the Antichrist is from. And he's hidden out, and basically he didn't really get a lot of attention. I don't really try to keep up with him at all anymore. But like you said, they're behind the scenes, they're doing all kinds of things. That's kind of what he does. The Antichrist behind the scenes get things going in the right direction. And one of his jobs, which Biden will yield to, is to get, you know, everything transferred from the U.S. into Europe, you know, China, Russia, you know, whatever, but mainly it's about Europe. And so, you know, the thing going on with Ukraine, like Ukraine's not part of the NATO, as well as, you know, some other, there's a few countries that in that area around Romania that are not part of the NATO. And so they're really starting to, you know, connect all that. And it is moving that way fast. It was tells us that, you know, the Antichrist situation is the one world government is actually forming and shaping, and they're getting all their business stuff together. And it's amazing. And so they're going to try to make it to where we can't even function and do anything without being a part of their system. So that's why we've got to believe God to get our eyes off what their system is doing, you know, as far as, you know, because once they get their system connected, they're gonna cut off anybody who doesn't bow down to them, and that's why we've got to believe God for these like Texas and other states and other around the globe to connect and get their system going, because in any day they're just gonna say, hey, you can't be a part of this unless you bow down to us. And of course, we can't bow down to them. So what are they gonna do? They're gonna say, you can't get your money out. You can't get your finances. You can't get this your inheritance that's been saved up in this bank. You can't get it out because it's part of our system, and now we own it. And so that's what we got to prepare ourselves for, is to believe God to get our eyes off trying to save America, which is not going to be saved, and to let America find its place, and Texas and other states and other places find its place in the new system that we're going to have going on. You know, whatever the system is exactly, I don't know, but our own telephone system. How many different telephone companies do they have? How many different satellites do they have out there? And surely one of those companies, banking systems, can just say, you know, we're going to have our own system. I don't think it's really that big of a deal, but if we don't start focusing on that now, people are going to be caught with their, you know, with their hands in the cookie jar or whatever. They're going to be caught up in that system and not be able to get out of it with their money, you know, with their wealth. Because they're going to steal it, they're going to rob it, they're going to take it, and if you don't bow down and sign over, they're just going to say, well, you know, that's part of our bank, that's one of our banks. So sorry, you can't function anymore. You can't make phone calls anymore without us, because that's our phone company. So we got to have our own phone companies and all that. So you know, I've talked about that many times, but that's where we need to be going right now, focusing on that rather than trying to make America great again. You know, that's gone, that's past, that's over. It's about making the global church of Jesus Christ and the global, you know, supply of to feed the people who are not going to be part of that system, who reject the system.
Well, the people that are making the money right now, including, you know, who we identified as somebody to watch, they're making their money in the infrastructure, the copper, the wire, the fiber optic cabling. They own those companies, and it's what's making the super smart cities that will have the surveillance. They'll have the whole infrastructure where, you know, buying and selling, completely controlled biometrics and everything. That'll all be set up, and they're making countries kind of bow down and, hey, you're not going to get protection. We're going to cut off funding if you don't, you know, set up these smart cities. And it might be better to be in a second or third world country, because you don't want to be stuck in one of these, you know, super surveillance cities and bowing down and not being able to do anything
outside of the system. Yeah, most people don't realize that a lot of the devastation, a lot of the disasters that we hear about in the Book of Revelation, and all the things that are going to be the wars and the death, most of that's not going to be happening in the U.S. It's going to be happening in the Middle East. It's going to be happening in those areas right now where the big battle's over, Babylon and Iraq and Iran and Israel and the Middle East and and Russia. That's where all this most devastation is going to come, and so we got to understand that and prepare for that and quit thinking that that America's just going to go to hell in a handbasket if we're not number one. We can be used to, different parts of America can be used to bring great supply. And I think that what's going to happen, too, in my vision that God's given me, is that right at the right time, God's going to show me, he's going to give me a word about the market in whatever areas they are, that we're going to go in and God says, invest in this today. Tomorrow it's going to be completely different. So we're going to, by the word of the Lord, which he's given me over the years, go invest in this today, put this amount of money right here, and because tomorrow you're gonna turn over all the money that's going to be made is going to be announced, and then we pull it out of that system and put it into the system, wherever state you're in, or Texas, whatever banking system. So you remove it, just like Israel removed it from Egypt. They took that gold and silver and cloth, they took it out of there and made it part of their system. And that's the general overall thinking that we've got to remember, that yeah, we're going to pull billions and billions of dollars out of the one world system, but it's going to have to be, the timing's going to have to be perfect. It's going to have to be exactly perfect and exact, and only God can do that, because he knows what's really going on behind closed doors. He knows what's going on. It's not going to be in the news. We're not going to be warned about it. It's going to happen. And only those who are prophets in this area are going to be hearing from God about it specifically. We make the investment, pull the money out, and then we put it in our new system here, just like Israel did. It's the same basic way it's going to work.
Well, I know we've kind of gone over it, and I think a lot of people have the concepts down, but I'm just able to see things happening at a rapid pace. If people follow some of these things, you just have to look for it in the news.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I like that.
And I think a lot of people are just, vaccine, COVID. And it's like, yeah, the vaccine's probably not great for you, but it's not the main focus. We got to get going in circles, and we're getting brainwashed because they know that, it's Operation Mockingbird. They just say the same thing over and over and over. People believe it or go crazy, and there's a lot of other places to look that are, hidden behind the covers. And you're right, the fall of America, it might be a beautiful thing, unless you want to get corralled into, a surveillance state, smart city, where you don't want to be. This could be a great option to just have, it's not going to be as good. It's not going to be all the technology of the future, but we could really, be just fine here in certain states and move along. And it's starting to make a lot of sense, like how God is planning that out.
Yeah, we'll have technology. Like I said, it may not be, a lot of technology coming out of Israel. Israel, as we know, one of the things you see in the Book of Revelation about Israel is that they're fooled by the Antichrist. So we got to realize that Israel is going to be fooled by the Antichrist. They're going to be going they're going to get sucked into that system and go, man, he's a man of God. This guy is awesome. He's he's the best thing that's ever happened to the world. They're going to be deceived by that. It's not like Israel's so spiritual that they see the answer. They're not going to see it. They're going to think that he's the Messiah. And so we realize that even Israel, we have to be careful with Israel, because they're going to be the ones, the Bible makes it very plain, that they're going to embrace the Antichrist until he says, I'm God. Then they're going to, of course, reject him then. But then it's going to be like too late, but it's going to be way past time of you know, dealing with him, because he's going to be in control then. And they're going to be kind of like, you know, rocking and reeling from what he does, because they got sucked into his stuff. They're very much into technology. They're the head of it in many ways. They're great. They're, you know, God's blessing them. But at the same time, because they're so focused on that, that's the Antichrist system. The Antichrist, I don't know if you've done any research on you know who the Antichrist is, like I do. You know, we've talked about that, but he's very much, the Antichrist back years ago was very much into dealing with a lot of those metals that you're talking about. And he's had some great investment in that. I can't remember what it is right now, but he's had great investments in a lot of that.
Yeah, copper is one of them. The price has just skyrocketed. Yes. And that's really required to set up a lot of this 5G network kind of stuff. And that was, you know, proven during lockdowns, you know, that's when people were in their homes, they were going around installing all this type of network stuff all over in cities all around the world and getting that set up kind of quietly. And there was so much demand for these certain minerals that, you know, the commodity and value of them just skyrocketed through the moon. And, you know, certain individuals are controlling the mines and the semiconductors and the supply chain. That's all tied into that person.
Right. Right, and the guy who I knew the Antichrist is, I mean, yeah, I did research on him many years ago to see where his investments were, you know, the ones that at least they would talk about publicly, and he was involved in all that, you know. I mean, I couldn't even tell you exactly what the names of the company were.
A long time ago, it's like early 2000s, right? It was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I mean, making moves,
yeah,
and far
back,
acquisitions, yeah. early 2000s. And planned for a long time.
It was a while back. Yeah, he was, you know, very smart, future. That's why everybody's going to think that he's the Messiah, because he's, you know, not only does he have wealth, but he's very much into technology and going to use technology to take control of the world. That's the whole point. And so, you know, it takes material to do that. It takes, you know, it takes certain materials to, like you said, build you know, whether it's satellites or running cable in the ground, you know, to connect to the world. And they've been heavily invested in that in for years. So even with Russia, I know that he was very involved in with Russia about some of that stuff. If I had it in front of me, I could tell you, but
yes,
it's, yeah, they're on top of things, man.
Russia.
They have been for a while.
I mean, even Ukraine, Russia. Yeah. It's, the focus is not in America. And it
exactly.
seems like even the countries, I mean, we're pushed so many pharmaceuticals here. Our education system is falling apart. The certain countries are getting empowered. You know, they have better medical, they have better food. They're not trying to kind of kill people off like they are here. And, you know, we're going down. I mean, you know, people are so far more educated.
Yeah.
With the infrastructure, you know, even if you go to China, people think, oh, China's, you know, not that advanced or anything. It would blow your mind how much further along Asia is and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And all that's going toward other countries. America is just like, going to be, you know, that's what Biden's doing. Everybody's going, oh, Biden is so weak and all that kind of thing. Well, he is in a sense, but that's what his purpose is to weaken America, you know, to bring, to hand a baton over. Hand a baton over to Europe and to those guys. And that's what he's going to do. That's what's going to happen. You can see it in the dealing with Ukraine. You can see it in, you know, who's in the know and who's controlling things, like the guy from France, what's his name, Macron, and others. You know, they're saying, like, you know, Macron talks to Putin. He knows how to talk to Putin. He's on the inside of it. So it's all transferred over to, you know, the people in Europe, the people, you know, who have got real connections with these people. It's not American. America's a lot of fluff and Oh, yeah. President Biden talked with Putin today. Putin's like going, yeah, right. You know, like he's kind of playing along with the little game and knowing who's really got, you know, where the power's really going. They all know. They all know where it's going.
Yeah, so that was kind of my
rant. Care about America.
No, he doesn't. It's like nobody's even concerned about it. You know, we're here thinking, oh, we're so important, but in the scheme of world politics, there's just very unimportant. And I think they always say the American military is doing this and that, and look, and then Germany and France and all these other troops do whatever they want, and nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. It's starting to happen. So it's just a matter of people, you know, like I said, not going through the distractions and moving past those distractions. And, you know, there's so many, like I said, there's so many distractions going on. It's amazing. And, you know, that's what I'm always doing. When we talk about the word of the Lord tonight, you know, we're talking about how that, you know, when Biden and the Biden and Trump election came and all that happened and how God, you know, confused all the people who were coming into agreement, millions and millions of people, you know, Trump's going to win this thing. We're all in agreement. We got millions of people who believe in it. We're standing in agreement, you know, and they just totally got, you know, it's like a spirit of confusion hit everybody. Like, what happened? What's going on? Well, God, just like he did with Babylon, he confused them. You know, because they were coming in agreement about something that God was not interested in. He said, I got something bigger going on, y'all. America is not it. I'm sorry. I love America. I'm a patriot in that sense. But as a prophet, I have to say what God's doing and saying and doing. And believe me, America is not it. America is, you know, it doesn't have to go down the tubes, but it's also not going to be number one, not even close.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So we got to get a hold of that. Mm-hmm.
They want you to feel isolated here and kind of powerless and isolated from the rest of the world. You know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's we had so much pride in our country, and America's done a lot of great things. It's been a great country. It's been a great country. No doubt about it. But when God gets ready to do something different, when I get the 1134 twice on the same day with two different business deals, and then 1134 happened to be the date, November the 3rd was the election, and 4 days later Biden was elected, according to the news outlets, and he won it, and then he never lost it after that. You know, that to me told me everything. You know, that's why I could boldly say Trump's not going to do anything. I like Trump. I like his big mouth. I like the way he fights. I like Henry. I love it. But you know what? When God says that's it, that's it. It doesn't matter. Well, you know, if I was back president again, I wouldn't be doing Biden. Oh, he's weak, man. He's going down. He's going, you know, I'm going like, shut up, man. I love you, but shut up. You're making yourself look like an idiot. And so, you know, just quit saying, well, if I was president, you know, this is what I would do. You know, you sound like a little kid, you know, trying to be the boss on the block or something. Like, if I was a president right now, you know, I'm going, dude, you are, you know, I love you, but you are making a donkey of yourself, a fool of yourself, at least in my eyes. And I voted for Trump twice, and I like a lot of his stuff. But, you know, once God removed that, once he removed it, that's it. It's like, shut up and sit down. But he's not going to do that because he has to fight. And that's what's going to make it more interesting, more fun, is that he's going to fight. And he's going to get a lot of people to fight with him, and they're all going to be fighting for the wrong thing. That's the sad part about it.
Wow. Never thought about it like that. No, that's the whole, you know, puppet game for everybody is, oh yeah, the president, he's just so dumb, and it's so silly, decisions making. It's like, no, they know exactly what they're doing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's very strategic. You know how many smart people, way smarter than you, are planning an agenda you don't even understand?
Yeah.
They can't, you know, only God can understand it.
and calling into PGN, you know, we're putting together pieces of the puzzle here that we, Randy's been talking about for long before Biden.
Yeah.
We've been knowing about this for a long time.
Yeah, we have been. We've been we started in 2018, in October, November, December, we started talking about how that Caligula was Trump, and he got taken out of office after 3 years and 10 months. Well, that's exactly what happened to Trump. I mean, we're trying to warn the world, get ready, because they got something up their sleeve. Oh, yeah, right. Well, Trump's going to win because, you know what, he's the man. We're all in agreement over this stuff, and they didn't have a clue what was about to hit him upside the head. But we did try to warn people. We tried to warn people, pray, believe God, and after 3 years and 10 months, you know, he's going to be out of office unless something changes, unless America repents or something happens. And sure enough, after 3 years and 10 months, he was voted out in November, 11-3. That was exactly 4 years, 3 years and 10 months, you know. And then, of course, January, he was actually out of office officially, but he actually lost it in 3 years and 10 months. And we warned the globe. We said, hey, get ready, y'all. This is, Caligula is Trump, and Trump is Caligula. Even his wife's name was Melania. His fourth wife's name. Caligula's wife's name was Melania. When I saw that,
wow.
I went, oh, my God. And even the historians said, we don't believe everything they said about him because they hated him so bad. Who's that, Trump? You know why they hated him? Because he provoked them all the time. Oh, you bunch of idiots. You know, you're the ugliest thing. You got the biggest nose. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You ain't got nothing going on. You're a dummy. My horse can think better than you. That was Caligula. Caligula and Trump, I mean, the correlation between those two was mind-boggling when I saw it. And we talked about that for 2 years before it all happened, and plus a lot more. But it was hard to see for people because who would ever believe that, you know, that was going to happen? It was very difficult. But it did. And so the next phase is in action, and you can't stop it. You can try to stop it. Oh, we're going to have a million people agreeing together. We're going to stop this thing. You ain't going to stop God. Get off the throne. You're not on the throne, girlfriend, brother. Come on, man. Get in line with what God's doing and just move forward and try to build a system that we can do without the system that the world system is going to have going on.
We can't build the system without stopping merchandising, right? Full circle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what God's doing right now. That's what the whole thing with you know, as we've talked about many times, sad as it was that Marcus Lamb, the head merchandiser, Trinity Broadcast Network has kind of stopped merchandising a little bit, not much. Now they're selling insurance. Now they're selling all this stuff. I'm sure, you know, their mom and daddy's probably rolling over their graves going, my God, I can't believe my child is selling insurance on my network. But that's what they're doing. At least they're not merchandising as much as Daystar. Daystar is probably the biggest merchandiser of all. And so what happened? By his sovereign work, you know, but totally, you know, if we hadn't been talking about it, like, you know, a couple of days before it all happened or a couple of weeks before it all happened, it wouldn't have been a bigger deal. But we talked about, you know, him being taken out, not by death, but being taken out, you know, a week, 2 weeks before it happened. That's just not coincidence, you know, but it's hard for people to put all that together. It's hard for people to go, oh, wow, you think there really are some real prophets in the earth today? You think God would really speak to us about that kind of thing? You know, and yeah. So the merchandising thing, you know, it's all about the whore. You know, the Bible talks about Revelation, it says, come out from among her. And all of a sudden, one day, the whore gets judged, and all of her stuff crashes to the ground. She can't even function anymore. You know, she can't buy or sell because she's been whacked. And everybody who's connected to that system, including Daystar Network and whoever else, is going to go down with that whore when she goes down. So that's what I'm saying. Come out from among them now. Let's get ready for a wealth transfer and take some of that money out of Egypt or out of the world system. Just in time, God brings it out and sets it into, you know, some local banking that's separate from the system. And start thinking about that. Let's start thinking about the future. Well, we can go the right direction instead of hanging on to some old dream that God says, I ain't dreaming that no more.
Well, I think you're right, Randy. I tried to follow Sid a little bit, but I think he had a little less commercials than normal.
Who's having a little less commercials? What was that?
Sid Roth, he toned it down a little bit. You know, he's only put. He used to be pushing a book every 4 or 5 books every show. I think I've seen it where he wasn't pushing as many or one or less.
Oh, really? That's great. You know, I know sometimes you have to do things. You know, I never told people you better stop it cold turkey. I said, you know, we told people years in advance. You know, start trying to break free from that because I know it's difficult. When, like the Titanic, you know, you can't just turn that thing around on a, you know, it takes time. And that's what I thought I saw Trinity Broadcast doing is when they started, you know, they started selling insurance, even though it shocked me when they were selling Coca-Cola, they started selling all these things, but, and they're still merchandising the Word of God, but at least they start to try to make a turn. That's a big turn to make. So I'm thinking, okay, God, let's be patient with them. Let's give them time. As long as they keep moving toward it, if they keep moving toward it, they're going to be fine. If they don't, they're going to go down with the ship too. And Daystar definitely never even, you know, they weren't fazed by any of this stuff. And Marcus Lamb, believe me, he knew everything I was saying, everything. And he knew we were talking about him being like David and Jimmy Swagger. He heard me talking about all that stuff. He knew exactly what was going on. And, you know, he was a smart man. He listened to people that got words that nobody else was getting. He was a smart businessman. You think he wasn't listening to us and we were getting words that nobody else was getting, you know, as well as the market words and the thing about Biden and all that. You think he did? And God used him in my life many, 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 many years ago. But you know what? As a prophet, I have to say it, whether God used him or not. I have to say what God's telling me about him, and so now it's happened, and now it's only the beginning. God's going to be doing some whacking again if they don't repent and start changing the way they do things. God's going to start whacking. It's going to be some more whacking. You know, it's not my word; it's the word of the Lord.
That's amazing. Well, I'm going to keep paying attention if more people are coming out and saying we don't merchandise, but I'm still looking. I haven't seen much of it.
I haven't either. No, it's one thing. That's how they make their money, you know, and I understand, you know, when I came out of it, I believed wholeheartedly in it. I thought it was just the way we made money, you know, and I never had a clue God would ever tell me not to do that. You know, that's just the way ministers make money. You know, that's what we were taught. We were taught that. I believe that. I was starting PGN, starting to get ready to do my merchandising. And when the Lord said, you know, if you'll not merchandise, I'll bless you, you know, way beyond your imagination. I'm going like, but God, all my friends are going to reject me because they're all into it. He said, just do what I tell you. And so we've tried our best to do that. And it's going to be good. You know, the way God's dealing with things, he's showing us. Like the Marcus Lamb thing, that was the latest big thing as far as very specifically talking about him being taken out, you know, not by death, but by other means, you know, two or three weeks before he actually died and talk about that publicly, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's moved out of the way, gone to heaven. I think he's in heaven with Jesus. I think Jesus loves him. I think he said, welcome. I think Jesus said, welcome, met him at the pearly gates. Welcome in to heaven, my brother. I wish you would have listened to my prophet a little bit more, Randy Chandler, because he sure could have, you might not be here if you'd have listened to him. You'd have got some things right, but, you know, welcome to heaven. Here's your rewards. God bless you. You know, and I think that's kind of what happened, but if they don't deal with it soon, you know, it's going to be amazing to watch that whore. And I'm not talking about a particular person, but that core system, when it comes crashing down, they're all going to be wailing, going, "Oh God, we lost our, we can't even buy and sell anymore. We can't sell our books. We can't. Oh God!" And that's exactly what's going to happen. Caught so off guard, that when God judges it, it's going to be quick and sharp, and they're going to be sitting just like the Bible says in the Book of Revelation 18, where he says that the whore just in one day.
in one day, the whole system went down. The whole thing goes down in one day. 1 hour, I think, is it. Quick. In other words, it's quick. So we make the transfer of wealth. We bring that into our system that God has here for Texas and the United States and different other countries, and join together, and it's going to be awesome, man.
I agree with you that Yuki has a friend staying with us tonight, and sorry to get you off the topic, but we wanted to, before we forgot, if we could pray for Chom. She's staying here and just wanted to ask for prayers for her.
Pray for who, Chom?
Chom, Chom.
Chom, okay.
She's,
Chom, yeah.
We prayed for her before.
Okay, yeah, sure, absolutely. All right, let's do that. Let me go here and I'll meet you guys, and then we'll pray for you. We're to pray for you, right? We're going to pray for Chom. All right, thank you, you guys. Thank you, Lord, for Chom. Well, I think for Chom that you teach Chom how to look at things the correct way, how to give him give Chom insight on how to see, how to look, how to interpret things, that where Chom doesn't interpret everything according to, you know, what everybody else says things mean, but that he catches the wave of the Spirit of God. He catches the wave of what the Lord is saying, that he gets his ear full of information that will contradict what the world says. And when the information of God begins to contradict what the world is saying, that he'll not, run toward the world, but he will run towards you. And so that there's no failure in God. We may lose things sometimes. We may have loss, but there's no failure in God, because God takes everything, even our mess ups. And when we get it right with him, he takes everything that we do and turns it out for good. So therefore, Chom, you can realize that it doesn't matter what you've failed in, what you're unsure of in your life. God can take it and he can, turn it around. But you have to get it. You have to get it into his hands. And once it's in his hands, then he can begin to do a work. So the whole thing you need to focus on is how to get things into God's hands. To understand how that works, to understand how the Bible works, understand how that we can't just do things what we think is right and intellectually try to figure it out and do things in a business fashion. We have to do it according to, like Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. And I call you forth, Chom, to come forth into the Father's business. Hang on a second here. Hang on a minute. All right, Chom, so I call you forth to do the Father's business. Not just business, but the Father's business. In other words, do business from the perspective that God gives you. Get into the Word. Get into listening to people who think outside the box. And let the Lord begin to bring you outside the box, where you can think outside the box in a spiritual way, not just in an intellectual way, but in a spiritual, godly way, so that you don't get boxed in by human reasoning. You don't get boxed in, because when you're thinking, when you're reasoning with the Lord, you become unlimited. Things that are unfair become, God turns around into something and makes it fair. He makes it right. God makes it right. Things that are unjust, God turns around and makes it just. So if you want justice, thinking the way God thinks, and he'll take your life like he did Joseph. What Satan meant for evil, God will turn for good. Right? All right. So all right, so let's go here to my next caller, 863-808. I think it's Cheryl from Florida.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with you.
Okay, just one?
No, I'm joking, but I'll tell you about the friends thing after you pray for me.
Okay, yeah, let's pray for you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord,
for, you know, the friend things, like you're talking about, you sent me a text about friends or something, so I don't know what that means exactly, but the friends that are friends of God, they give you the freedom to let God guide you. They give you the freedom to make mistakes. They give you the freedom to do things that they don't necessarily understand, and yet they still support you the best that they can. And so I thank you, Lord, that the friends that you bring us, doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean that, but the thing we have in common is that we're all learning, we're all growing, we're all seeking God, and we all have different ways of getting there. It's all through Jesus, but it's different forms and different fashions, different ways of doing stuff. Jesus was a friend to sinners, and which meant that he was likable. He wasn't always trying to straighten them out and correct them all the time. You know, if you're talking about Christians, it's a whole different thing. Friend to Christians, it's a whole different thing being a friend to sinners. Jesus was a friend to sinners. And so that whole realm of being friend with sinners means that you're likable. You make God easy, you know, like you're a godly man or a godly woman. You make God easy to communicate with. You know, you don't have to communicate with them on some high level of spirituality where they can understand it. But we come down to their level and in the sense of communication and just be friends with them. The friendship realm connects us to people, God to people in a way that I've never seen. I just in the last few years have learned how to be friends to anybody. I mean, I can walk into a room now because of the grace of God, and be friends and be instant friends with anybody. Don't know them. They're a heathen, cuss like a sailor. They're whatever their problem is. They have issues. They got stuff going on. And I can just, because God's given me the grace to do it now, and I've learned how to step into it, to where he can just befriend anybody. And they just kind of let their weapons down, you know. They're not there to fight you. They're there to say, hey, what's up, you know. And they really have conversations of, you know, life and friendship. It's really, really cool. So thank you, Lord, for that realm. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God, that you that you're going to make a new house out of her house. It's like I see God, you know, making your house new. I don't even know what that means. I don't know if it's talking about physical remodeling. I think you've just been doing some of that not long ago. But I see your house being made new. Like something new going on at your house, something new, something like a new atmosphere, a new presence, just a new thing, you know, a new chapter in your life, in Jesus' name. So, amen. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so what's going on over there in Florida?
Hey, man, that's tell any woman she's going to get a new house with a new atmosphere and upgrade. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
I'll take that. Yeah. I was just saying, you had a lot of friends on Blog Talk. You said, I'm going to lose all my friends if I say this.
Oh, well.
I'm like, your friends, we're backing you on Blog Talk, buddy.
That's right. That's right.
You're a true friend.
You know, I'm glad you said that because
all your friends.
That was exactly. Yeah, the friends that I thought I were my friends, I lost. And then I gained a whole bunch of new friends. You're right. That's exactly right.
Well, you know, God said that he was going to send you. Was it his friends?
Uh-huh.
Didn't he tell you that?
He sent me friends that are his friends, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that doesn't always look real churchy. Jesus didn't look real churchy.
Yeah.
He didn't do their churchy thing. The first thing he did was come and set them straight or mess them up, one or the other. So, you know, when the spirit of, well, anyway, I don't have to tell you all this, but it's like, don't say all your friends. You didn't lose all your friends. You just gained a few. You didn't know you had.
Yeah. There you go.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, my merchandising friends, which I didn't call it merchandise at the time, just the way we raised money. It was just life. It was everyday. It was just the way we did things. You know, I was in the process of, you know, getting some things going on to sell, and you know, give people a chance to buy some stuff. And, you know, I mean, I was setting all that up when I first started, and that's when the Lord said, you know, if you'll not do that, I'll bless you. And the first thing I thought was, oh, God, you know, if I start preaching like this, my friends who were my friends back, you know, ministry friends, mainly minister friends, prophet friends, that kind of thing. You know, like,
oh,
I hang out with Benny Hinn, the Benny Hinn crew,
yeah,
and a bunch of other people who were, and they just thought, like, you know, you lost your mind. They even tried to stop me. They even said, you know, Randy, do you have a bitter root going on somewhere about something? Because they were trying to trying to heal me.
Yeah.
Literally, they're trying to heal me. It's so funny.
Yeah. No, you have to fight a bitter root, but, you know, after what happens. But, you know, when God gives, well, Job had a different perspective. I don't know where you got your different perspective. I mean, where a light came on and who helped bring it on. But a lot of times suffering brings a different perspective. Job said, now I've seen you face to face after he suffered. I don't know if he had visions, but I know the Lord talked to him. I don't know how he could talk to him, but he came face to face with the Lord. So part of that, like you said, I'm made for rejection stuff. It's probably given you perspective and a more face to face with God, just like Nikki's daughter, you know. So,
Yeah, the basic thing about I was made for rejection, because I didn't understand what that meant when I first got it. I was rebuking the devil. I thought it was the devil talking to me. But it was just like I'm talking to you, except on the inside of me. You know, I made you for rejection. I'm going like, I bind that up in the name of Jesus. And then I sat there and started thinking about it. I said, oh, yeah, Jesus was made for rejection, because I realized that, you know, as much as he got rejected by the leadership, all the leadership rejected him. Most of them did. Nicodemus didn't do too much, but most of them, they were rejecting him all the time. So if he had got offended by that, or if he had been made to be able to handle that, it would have made him bitter. It would have made him, you know, so he was made for it. It's almost like you expect it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Bible says,
well, the first time, remember another time that he was in the temple, he stood up and he quoted Isaiah and he said, today this is fulfilled in your eyes. I can't remember what he said, but he quoted it and said, yeah, this is me. So he had to deal with the Pharisees from day one, because when he came as who he was, you know, Messiah and Jesus, Son of God. So they were like, what? You're messing up everything we've set up, and we're ingrained in it. And a true prophet, you know, someone who, like, stands and brings the word of the Lord, or brings restructure, or what's the word? It starts with an R. What is it, Randy, when you bring a whole new, somebody help me.
Yeah, when you're trying to pioneer something, you bring a whole new.
Yeah.
You know, you bring a whole new structure. Yeah,
I can't think of it, but.
You know, new wine skin, new wine, and you're bringing a whole new thing in. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to hit the system head on. You're hitting, it's like hitting it head on. And if you don't learn how to do that, you start beating up your own head, because that thing isn't moving. Only God, the word of the Lord, can shake it. The Lord, I wrote something, and the Lord said, it's like busting balloons. And the Lord says, he showed me a picture. No, what that did was shake pillars, you know. So when God says something, it can be really simple, really simple. But when it's us saying what he's saying, it can take, it can tear down structures. So it's important.
Yeah.
It's important for us to get in line with what he's saying. And, but nevertheless, you feel the, repercussion
yeah.
of it. And, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
A lot of people, like you say, talking about getting new friends, a lot of people that you get, your new friends, are they're usually the rejected people. They're already the ones that the system has rejected them for one reason or the other. And that's the way God set it up, you know, where, you know, he makes you for rejection, and then you end up drawing people who when you talk bad about the system, are going like, yeah, I don't like the system either. Yeah, those sorry preachers, those sorry, what they did to me, what they didn't do to me, what they should have done to me. You know? And it's part of the process of God saying, hey, I got something new going on here. And those people are ready for it. They're ready. They don't even know what they're ready for. If they're ready for something new, that the old is really messed. They're going like, man, I've had enough of this. And so that whole generation, like what happened with Jesus, when the whole generation he raised up, they were all a bunch of rejectos. I mean, you know, they weren't part of the religious system. They'd been abused by it. They'd, you know, heard all these, you know, Pharisees, all these religious people being hypocrites, and so they were ready for something new. And that's what God does.
Yeah.
He lets us get abused by the system, so we can, when it comes time to reject it and walk away from it, we can.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've been honestly praying for people, churches, to get ready for the harvest in a place where, and then the Lord says, look, you know, the way I was praying, then he said, change the way you're looking at this. And he's even telling me that as I'm saying this. He says, those that are coming up is more mature than what you give them credit for. And they're going to move into leadership. And my son's been visiting churches and he's trying to find a place. You know, he's definitely found out he's not Catholic, but, I told him, he went into this one church and I said, look, this is what you're going to run into. And he didn't remember it, but my other son, he talked to my other son. He said something to exactly what I told him he's going to run into. You know, so I called him today and I said, you remember what I told you? No, ma'am. And then I told him and he remembered it. But it's like, he's seeing it, but he doesn't really know exactly what he's seeing. You know, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm like, I don't know, God, what? You know, they're, bless their heart, they're looking for a place, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah, the world is ready for the church people are ready for a new thing. They're ready for it. They may not embrace it right away, but they're going to go like, they'll finally get so frustrated. Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with all that, but you know what? If the old system didn't work, so I don't know what it was about the old system that wasn't good. Probably a lot of it, but so I'm going to be. So it created a whole another desire in people to be able to walk away from the stuff they believed in all those years, because it did nothing but leave them dry and, you know, like, you know, yeah.
Sharon Stone came to one of the churches I was going to when I was younger. She's a prophet she's in America now. I think she's in England. I don't know where she's at now, but she called me out and she told me, she says, yes, you know, what you've been hearing is the Lord. And yes, it was me that told you. It's me that shows you things. It's me. I think she said what you really been looking for is totally, though, in the midst of the Lord. It's not in a church, it's not in a person, but it's totally being submerged in his presence and his character and his love, totally, you know, being found in him. So we really do, as Christians, we look over here and over there, you know, and as young Christians, we need you know, what did he tell the Song of Solomon said, you know, where will you find him? He's outside the shepherd's tents or whatever, but it's usually outside the shepherd's tent. But anyway, I'm just concerned, and I need to just chill. Because the Lord's talking to me right when I said it, you know, I want a church for my family to go to. I want to be able to. And
yeah,
God saying I'm going to raise them up.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway.
Lord, we thank you for bringing those churches. We thank you for home groups, house groups, whatever it may be, just for temporary. In between things until things get established, but we thank you, Lord, that you're not going to raise. I can tell you right now, the reason a lot of new things aren't going to be raised up is because as long as they're using that merchandising system as a way to get their money, God's not going to bless them. I mean, He's not going to really bless it with His presence. And the new generation are not going to be merchandisers. They're going to be tithers. They're going to preach tithing and offerings, and you can raise money. You know, without selling things, there's different ways to raise money. There's different ways to do things. Your motives is right. So when the money thing gets dealt with, which this is what's happened with Marcus Lamb, that was a big thing, that the head doorkeeper of the biggest, largest merchandising television station in the globe, because Trinity kind of changed a little bit on where they're doing it. But so when that got hit, you know, that to me personally, it was one of the biggest signs that I've seen, because I had people telling me, you know, personal friends of mine, loved ones, and family members saying, who keep up with Daystar and all that, said, I don't know why you keep talking bad about Marcus Lamb and Joni and Daystar, Randy. Why don't you quit doing that? They're big. They're not going to go anywhere. There's nothing going to happen to them. They're going to just keep marching on. I went, and then so after Marcus died, you know, when that happened, they totally went, they didn't know what to say. They're going like, wow. You know, it kind of put them in a state of shock. And they're going like, well, my God, you know, so here I'm telling him to shut up about talking about Daystar and about Joni and Marcus, which I love them both, but they're merchandisers. And that's one thing God's attacking. He's aggressive going after that. And so when that all happened and they'd been telling me, you know, nothing's ever going to go on. They're not going to change the way they do things. Why do you keep talking bad about that? Why do you keep talking bad about that? They're not going to change anything. I'm going like, well, I don't know. I have a job to do, and I'm going to keep doing my job. And if I have to repeat it every time I get on the show, whatever I got to do, whatever God tells me to do, it is working. I couldn't see a whole lot going on. But when that happened, it's like, God, you started at the top, man. In a sense, and like you're going to start working your way down, and now it's little by little it's going to begin to crumble in different ways. So be careful, friends out there, telling your prophet buddies not to be doing stuff, because you never know if God's in it. It doesn't matter how big and bad to the moment people they are that they're talking about. If they're talking about it in the Lord, get ready, because one of these days it may take 5 years, it may take 10 years. It doesn't matter. But when God gets ready to do it, He's going to whack it. He's going to take care of it, and nobody can stop it. Nobody. So let the prophets do their job. Keep your mouth off of them, and let the Lord do His thing.
Well, hallelujah. I heard another prophet say, so when I highly regard, he helped start charismatic movement. He's one of the major ones, Timothy Sherman. He said God is done with the prophetic schools in the fashion. He said he's done with the prophetic schools. If I'm not quoting him wrong, he has one, and God is totally, I saw him in a totally different, I had a dream. He quit coming on Facebook. I had a dream, and he quit doing Facebook, but I was like so wondering what was going on, and I saw him a whole different setup, and
oh, yeah.
He was happy as a lark, but anyway, he said the prophetic schools are going to be a thing of the past. God's not in it anymore, and I can understand that, because after a while, if you get the wrong person over a prophetic school, if they get a Jezebel spirit, I've seen it happen, taking out the real prophets, people that
what he needs to be saying to clarify it is the way he's been doing it, the way they've been doing it.
You can't do it with the biblical school.
When God has a biblical school of prophets, that's a whole different thing. If you're training them to merchandising, if you're training them just to do things, and you know, then yeah, it doesn't need to be done away with. But you can't do away with biblical things, that's for sure. But I understand what he's saying, okay. and that's probably right. They need to stop doing what they're doing because it's a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, he's a man of God, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, and I just know it because how he came in and dealt with the situation. He didn't flinch, and it was no joke. You had to be able not to flinch and deal with it. And you know, he didn't make a big deal about it. He just come in one day and he spoke the word of the Lord, and then after that, it started like God started dealing with it. And he was just, it's like, shoom, it went over people's heads. I'm like, how come y'all aren't reacting to this? How come you're not going, what just happened? And, yeah, the structure started crumbling. So, yeah, he's a true prophet. I know he is.
Congratulations.
So are you, Randy?
A lot of things are crumbling, but it doesn't mean that the thing that's in the Bible is wrong. It's just that the way people have done it, and that's for sure. So, yeah, the way they do things, the structure, the money system defiles it before anything else does. And you can start it with something really pure, really good of God, like Samuel had a prophet school. You know, where he protected David, where Saul came in and tried to bring him down, and Saul ended up stripping all his clothes off and prophesying the anointing on that. So those things are very real. But at the same time, you know, when you're doing things and it just ends up being just, you know, and the money thing defiles it quicker than anything. You have the pure thing going on. Everybody in there can be pure. Everybody in there can be prophets and truly being trained. But you get into the money thing. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So it opens up the door and defiles everything. So yeah, shut them all down. Shut down Daystar. Shut down whoever else, and whatever they're doing. If they're running it off the money situation and selling things, then shut them all down. But it doesn't mean what God's doing is wrong.
Right. I'm just saying. I've just seen it, and I was like, I mean, I don't know. I saw it in Jerusalem that kills the prophets, huh?
Is he a merchandiser?
What?
Is he a merchandiser?
He has books. Yeah, he has books. He gave me his. So I don't know.
He sells books.
Randy, did you hear me? He doesn't. No, I don't hear him get on by my book. I don't hear that. But does he gave me his book.
Okay.
When I you know, he gave them to me.
Cool.
I do not know.
Okay.
I haven't looked into it.
I'll check him out and see.
But,
what's his name again?
No, because you're going to mess with him. No, Timothy Sherman. He can hold his own.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, it doesn't matter. If you're merchandising, you're merchandising. That within itself defiles everything you do, so... It can be pure and wonderful, a great man of God. If you're merchandising, it opens you up the door, for all kinds of things to happen. Our forefathers taught us that stuff, including great men of God like Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts even, a lot of those men that I love and respect, they taught us that merchandising was okay. I believed it. We all believed it. And now God's dealing with it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how pure. I'm sure he's probably the most pure, wonderful person in the whole world. It doesn't make any difference. If you're merchandising in any fashion or form, it defiles you.
Okay, well, maybe you need to bring that. So, I don't know. I'm not in the middle of this. So I just was saying what he's saying about the prophetic
scroll,
which I've been seeing. What's going on is people get whacked. I mean, what did Jezebel do? She took out what? Prophets until she got to Elijah. Right?
She tried to. Yes, she tried to take him out.
She took out some of the Lord's prophets. She did. Right? Am I wrong?
She tried to, yeah.
And then she went after Elijah.
Uh-huh.
Not going to happen. His name
right.
is Elijah. His name is Elijah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's the whole thing about all that, is that it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're merchandising, it opens you up to that deception and that defilement.
Yeah.
You can be as hard of gold, just as pure as the driven snow. I think most everybody that's ever done that has started that pure as the driven snow. I don't think these people are bad people.
Yeah.
That system is corrupt. And
yeah.
when you do it, and when God's getting ready to deal with it, and you're still dealing in it, it will deal with you all on its own.
Yeah. Well, does God, doesn't he judge the heart and the individual of what they do with what they sell? I mean, what if they sold something?
No.
I was thinking about, like, I can only work a certain amount of money because I'm retired right now. If I could, like, work a day and donate all the funds and not even let it run through me, you know, stuff like that, would that be, you know, if they'd sold their book and did something like that with it, poured it back in the ministry?
No, you can't sell. If it's revelation, see, that's where it kind of all starts out, real innocent, what if they did that? And I understand that thinking, but here's the root of it. If their words, if Timothy's
yeah.
words are coming from the Holy Spirit, then what word is that? It's the body of Jesus. They're selling the body of Jesus. You never sell the body of Jesus for any reason, any revelation from Christ. You don't sell that. You give that. Now, if you want to write a book about cooking and whatever else, but when you're selling revelation from Jesus, you're selling that. You're selling the body of Jesus. That's the way the Lord finally showed me. He said they're selling the body of Jesus because the Word became flesh, and Jesus' body is about His Word. So when you're selling
okay.
it, you're selling the body of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether your motives are right or wrong. If you're selling the body of Jesus, that's it. Done. You're defiled.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know. All right. But I just thought it was kind of neat about the schools and what I've seen. And, And, you know, I thought, you know, maybe Trump will see at one of these days that if you know, whatever happens, and he doesn't get in, he's going to need, I told you, I felt like you, with all that equipment that you have, could do help with a TV station one day. You never know. Help
yeah,
some of these guys
I don't know.
That are for
he's
America.
Not gonna be, he's not going to make America great again, so whatever, that's never going to happen. You know, that's never going to happen. People
but
still hanging
isn't
on to
it
that.
About, isn't it about on which whose side we're on, though? I mean, he is fighting for the right side. He's not fighting for that system. I'm just asking,
right.
You know. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, anyway.
Yeah, fighting for the system.
On the right
fighting
side.
For the right, Trump is really good at fighting against the system. That's why I like him. That's why I voted for him.
Yeah.
He fights against the system. I've said that many, many times. I voted for him twice, and I'd vote for him again. If he ran again, even though I'm saying all this stuff, I'd vote for him again. But I'm still not going to vote for somebody for killing babies and becoming part of the one-world system. I'm definitely not for that. So he comes in, you know, I'd still vote for him. But he's not going to make America great again. Whatever he's doing, because what's going to happen is that baton's going to be passed on to Europe. And once that's done, nobody's going to make America great again. Now, if he comes in and he helps form, things that are a new system, not just fighting the old system, but setting up a new system, I think that would be great. I think, yeah, he could be greatly used in that area for sure.
All right. Well, be nice then. So he won't hate you when he hears you say stuff about he's a baby. I mean, we're going to all have to work together here. When everybody gets a revelation, they're going to like, okay, what are we going to do? So you're going to have the answer, but if you're calling him baby and, you know,
yeah.
Just like,
he does. He acts like a baby sometimes.
Be
he acts
nice,
like a child.
Randy.
No, I'm just going to tell the truth. He acts like a child. I still like him. I like him better than anybody else, but he acts like a child sometimes. He sits there does what he does, and he acts like a child. At the same time, he's got a heart for fighting the system. I love that about him. I share the things I love about him, and I share the things I don't like about him.
All right. I'm just saying he's on your side, and you're on his side. So, you know, it's like, come on, let's all, like, if everybody get the revelation. I mean, there's people that's even merchandising that's on God's side, you know.
Sure.
They just hadn't got the revelation, and when God gives it to them, it's like you're nice. I mean, like you're nice to people that doesn't have certain revelation yet. You know, you are patient, you're kind, you're gentle with people.
But I also speak bluntly the truth.
Yes, you do.
You gotta have a balance. Yes, you can't just be Mr. Sweetie Pie all the time. You know, when it comes forth to speaking the truth, you have to speak the truth and just speak it the way it exactly is. Like, people don't like me talking about, you know, don't talk about men of God that failed. Well, the whole Bible is full about men of God who failed. I'm not talking bad about them. I'm just talking like what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about they failed, and here's how they failed, so don't go there. Stay right with God. Don't merchandise. Don't use God's grace for your own greed and for your own lust. And you're going to be fine. But do we just kind of hide all that? If the Bible hid it all, then I'd hide it all. But the Bible brings it all right out into the open.
This is exactly what they did.
They murdered, they cheated, that. They lied, they stole, they robbed, and then God dealt with it. So when
and
that happens
they were
today,
in the ministry.
We do the same thing. I talk about it very specifically because the Bible talks about it. So if people don't like the Word of God, they're not going to like me talking about that.
Okay, but, you know, Jesus dealt with the Pharisees just like you are dealing with that. So I totally understand it. But I want to, my thing is just I'm seeing down the future. Just be nice to people that's on your side.
Well, I've got to tell the truth to people. It doesn't matter what side. They don't know whether they're on your side or not. Paul the Apostle came right out and he said, you know, Peter, you're doing this all wrong. You're a hypocrite. And he came right out and said it. He didn't just say, poor little Peter. He came right out and said exactly. He named names and he kicked butt when it was proper. So we got to do things by the Bible, what makes your feelings feel good. We're not trying to make people's feelings feel good. The Word of God and put the fear and reverential awe of God when you need to, saying if you do what Marcus Lamb did, or if you do what David did, or if you do what Jimmy Swaggart did, guess what? You're going to lose your very purpose in God. I'm not going to back down from that stuff. That's not talking bad about people. That's revealing things that are in the Word of God and bringing them into today's life, going, if you keep doing what Marcus Lamb has done, what Jimmy Swaggart has done, you keep doing that, you can get right with God, but you lose your favor. I'm not going to stop talking about those things because somebody's getting their feelings hurt and I'm not being nice.
Okay. I'm not getting my feelings hurt. I'm just looking down for your future. That's all.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it.
Because I think
that
you could help people like that. I mean, you know, with your abilities. So if everybody could
I have authority to speak what I speak. And when I tell Trump to on certain things to shut up and keep your mouth closed and start, you know, doing your job and, you know, he just, I love him. Like I said, I'd vote for him again. He's not going to save America. And as long as he looks at, you know, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that, I wouldn't do what Biden's doing. I would, you know, just be a leader, man. And, you know, move forward instead of, he's hung up on the past.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue. I'm not, I didn't mean for you to get, you know, thinking I'm not behind you because I am. I just.
It's not about being behind me or not. You're just,
I just try to bring people together.
I
just like try to bring people. That's just how I am. But I can also do what you do. When I get to a place
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it's. So anyway,
yeah,
understand
I can't have
it.
Trying to stop me speaking what God tells me to speak, and there's reasons for it. And if they get their feelings hurt, which a lot of people do get their feelings hurt, if they keep seeking God, they're not going to get the feelings hurt anymore. They're going to go, well, that's in the Bible. Yeah, God did that. Jesus did that. The Holy Spirit did that. It's in the Word of God. And people start looking to the Word of God instead of to their feelings. Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit and what I call Twisted Sister, I mean, she gets offended at anything that has to do with the truth. That you can't speak the truth in love with her. She hates it. You shouldn't be talking bad about those people like that. That's not right. That's not very, very religious. That's not very, you know, here's Jezebel talking like this. I'm going like, you know, and she talks to a lot of people because they get caught up into the emotional side of things, and that's where she nabs them. All about feelings and all about emotions. And no, we go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about something? And we go with that. And like I said, when
Randy,
I talk about Marcus Lamb, I love Marcus Lamb. Marcus, God used Marcus Lamb in my life to help me. God used Marcus Lamb in my life to help me. I've given him all the credit for that.
I've been rebuked in prophetic schools for being too loud, too strong, too sharp, too all of that. So I don't know if you think that I am in the emotional realm. You are wrong.
No,
not
everybody lives in the emotional realm. We have to protect ourselves from.
No. I just gave a word myself that all the pretty little words. And I'm talking to you as a friend. I guess we are on air. When I tell you these things, I'm talking to you as a friend because I felt like at some point you could. Be friends with Trump and help America in some way, form, or fashion.
But you know what?
Okay,
you know what Trump? You know what Trump's all about? Trump. You know what Trump loves? Trump loves the truth. He likes for you to speak the truth. And so
he's very blunt.
He's very blunt. He's very upfront. And a lot of people get their feelings hurt when he talks. If you don't agree with what he's saying, he comes right out, and he may get a little bit carried away with the way he talks bad about how ugly some woman is, or. She'll never make a good leader because she's ugly, and she'll never have a good presence. You know, he talks all kinds of stuff, but he talks really blunt and upfront. I think he likes people to talk blunt and upfront with him.
Okay.
Instead of milly-mousing around,
well,
you know, talking trash. He likes to talk upfront, and so do I. That's why I like him.
Okay, so do I. And so do I. But when I'm talking to you, I'm not rebuking you because you're hurting people's feelings more. Then I'm saying these people are great people. Maybe they'll come in to see the light and, you know, work that. But, you know, I'm not going to try to fix it anymore. I'm just not. But I mean, I can just tell you, Jezebel did take down the prophets until she got to Elijah. Right?
Well, she tried to.
Right.
Exactly. They hit him out. They hit him out from her.
So Jezebel is not after. She's not so much mealy mouth, but that's how she hides. Mealy mouth. And shuts the prophets down by saying, "You're a little too loud. You're a little too blah blah blah." Yeah, I get that. I've had the same spirit try to shut me down. But I can tell you this, I do agree, one will weaken and the next one will take us down. So that's what the Lord has said. And you are right. Mm-hmm. Biden's weakening, doing a great job right now, weakening America.
Yeah.
And so I've said too much, and this has gone on way too long, and I'm going to let somebody else talk to you. If you will, I think you already started out trying to pray for a place for everybody, but I think you said home groups. So maybe we'll take that.
I'm just saying that's one of the places that kind of like an in-between place until things get rolling, yeah.
Yeah. So don't take it that I'm trying to shut you up or shut you down. I'm not. I just like them.
I like them.
I like them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's all. No way.
All right.
All
we'll
right.
Do
God
it.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All righty. Okay. Take care.
You too. All right. Yeah. I love it. All right. One thing I like about having my own show, I can talk, you know, without somebody, and I'm saying that Cheryl's doing that, but, you know, I've had pastors and leaders telling me, you can't say that. You can't, well, I said it's in the Bible, but you can't bring that into reality today. I'm going, why not? That's what it's for. How are we going to teach people to fear and reverence the awe of God if we can't talk, use the Bible and use David and his stuff and still say he had a heart after God? Without bringing out all of his trash, the trash that got him there. So we can teach people, if you do that trash, it's going to mess you up. And so we bring that into the reality today, and that's where Jezebel doesn't like it. And it has nothing to do with Cheryl, has nothing to do with anybody else. That's that the spirit tries to stop the prophet from connecting truth to the Bible of what's going on today. That's what she doesn't like. And she didn't want us bringing that out. And, you know, so the emotional realm is... you know, where she uses to, you know, you can't talk bad about the homosexuals or the transgenders or the lesbians. You can't talk about same-sex marriage. You can't talk about that because it hurts somebody's feelings. You know, that's one of the things I'm talking about. And so, you know, so God is going to, he's opening up a whole nother hunger in people's hearts. That's what the new churches are going to be about. And people that merchandise, God's not going to allow them to do that. He's going to shut them down, just like he did me. I started to do merchandising, you know, because it was just the way of life. That's why we did it in the ministry. We've always done it like that. There's no other way to do it. It's just what we do. The Lord said, shut that down. I don't want you to do that. If you'll do it different, if you'll give and bless, I'll take care of you. Way beyond what you can even imagine. So we started doing that. What did that do? That started a new thing that's been rejected a lot, but there's a lot of people that haven't rejected it. And so those people that are accepting it and going, this is the new wineskin, this is what God's doing. We're going to speak very plainly, but speak in love and speak the truth. Put the fear and reverence of awe of God back in the men of God's hearts and saying that we need to line up with Scripture instead of just doing whatever we please, whenever we feel like it, as long as my heart's in the right place, I can kill somebody as long as my heart's in the right place. I can merchandise as long as my heart's in the right place. I don't think so. You know, that's where it starts, the compromise starts. That's where that twisted sister gets in there. Well, you know, if their motives are right, isn't that right? You know, I thought the same thing. I said the same thing. And the Lord corrected me instantly. He said, no, it's wrong. Never sell Jesus, no matter what it is. Because when they open themselves up to that, they open themselves up to decay and destruction and defilement. And then their words start beginning to defile. Then they start doing things for money. They start doing things to save themselves. They start, and that's what we've seen. Every ministry I know of, especially the prophetic realm, has like selling prophecies for $1,000 or $100. I've been in those meetings. I thought it was okay. I thought, well, that's just a way to, you know, raise money, so whatever. And the Lord said, what are you doing? That's all wrong. Never sell Jesus, ever. Never sell his body. Never sell his word. Never sell his revelation. No matter what their motives are, that right there is going to defile their motives. That right there is going to destroy their motives. That right there is going to ruin their motives. So just don't no pity on any of it. Don't have mercy on any of it. Don't give any hope to anybody that they can merchandise if they get the right attitude, the right motive. Uh-uh. It's wrong. God says it's wrong in the Word, and it's wrong, period. You can't adjust that. You can't change that. You can't make that happen any other way. It's wrong. It's an abomination to God, and that's what the Lord says about it, and he's going to start dealing with it in a heavy-duty way. People are going to turn around. Here in a few years, they're going to like, my God, I wish we'd have listened to that message earlier.
because the whack jobs that have gone on are going to be unbelievable. And it's not because God likes to whack people. He's whacking a system. If they're connected to that system so tight and they're not going to change in it, then God's going to, then they will go down with the system when the system goes down. So that's the way it's going to be. I know that's harsh for some people. That's the truth. Whether that's, you know, my favorite preachers and teachers, to me, and whoever you are, listen. You know, you merchandise Jesus, you sell Jesus' word. I don't care what your reason or your excuse is. It's going to take you down. It's going to defile you. So I have a job to tell you that. And your blood's off my hands. So I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in Florida, what you're doing in America, what you're doing in the globe, that you're raising up a whole new church, a whole new thing. Some of it's going to be done in home groups, you know, in houses and places where we can get together and just not sell Jesus and worship the Lord and let everything be done for the gospel and those who preach the gospel or called to preach the gospel for free. For God so loved the world that he gave, not sold, gave. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Jesus, where even Judas said, Jesus, we could have sold that. Here this woman was coming in to honor him and worship him. And Judas, which is like a lot of our ministries today, most of them, we could have sold that and made some money off that and taken care of the poor. He didn't really care about the poor. He just was interested in the money. That's the spirit of our leadership today. It's about money. Selling oil, Marcus Lamb selling. I brought this out. I'll bring it again. Got on there selling some guy's oil from Louisiana. Man, this oil's anointed, and we're not selling it to you, but you can't get it unless you give me $40. What's that? That's selling. What are they doing? They're lying. They deceive themselves, and therefore that's why all this is going to crumble. In every ministry, whether it's prophetic schools, any kind of school, any kind of theological thing, they're going to crumble, one fashion, one way or the other. They're all going to crumble differently. They're all going to start crumbling. Why? Because the structure, the foundation that they built that upon, and they keep doing it, they don't repent of it, it's going to destroy them. It will destroy them. And so my job is to speak plainly about it and get their blood off my hands. And I've done that. I can stand clear before the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for raising up those new things, that new church, that new place in our communities, Father, where we can get the gospel for free of charge, get the oil of God without paying money for it. You can't get it unless you give me $40. I've heard Marcus Lamb say that time and time and time again, and plus a lot more things. That's just one of many. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're changing that, you're transitioning that. And people hate it when I say that, I know. They hate me for it. And they will always hate me for it. Turn around. It's all going to be better. All right. So I guess I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. I'm like, it's been great. It's, what time is it? It's 12:30. All right, so I'm going to call it a night tonight. I have a few more callers on there. A couple of callers on there. We're going to call it a night tonight. We will see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is when we minister to everybody, so call in. And get prayer, get ministry. We love doing it, and it's all free. Free. So free. You can give tithes and offerings if you want, but our ministry is always free. Bless everybody. It's been a great night. We've gone all over the place. I love it. I like to talk about everything. It's really a blast. All right. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. We love you.